welcome to the Fleegs Equipment Football Pregame Show on Regional Radio and MIMOinfo.com. Hi, I'm Jason Fleeg. Football, Fleegs Equipment, family and friends, American tradition that will always be there for generations to come. Fleegs Equipment and high school football, mowing down the competition on turf, on the grass, and in the field.
Hi, I'm Clarissa Nagger. Fleegs Equipment, a proud supporter of high school sports, on your number one source for play-by-play and web TV with an award-winning team at KTJJ, KREI, KJFF, and MIMOinfo.com.
And welcome in to the start of week two of high school football across regional radio as we get set for another round of games. Four games come your way, as does every Friday night, courtesy of Regional Radio, and it is rivalries. The theme tonight with J98's Game of the Week, the St. Genevieve Dragons hosting the Valley Catholic Warriors. On AM 800 KREI, the rivalries continue. It's the St. Francis County battle with Farmington traveling to take on the North County Raiders in the Heartwalk game for 2016. St. Francis County team started off the high school football season all with victories. Somebody is leaving with a loss tonight. On AM 1400 KJF, a rivalry that is just beginning. It's the DeSoto Dragons taking on the Bishop DeBerg Cavaliers. These two met a year ago in a slugfest that saw the Dragons come away with a 28-21 victory on the road. First-year head coach Chris Johnson takes his team into tonight's home opener. We'll have more on that as the Fleegs Equipment pregame show continues. Our web TV exclusive for week two. This one's going to be a fast pace. I feel like it's going to be a barn burner tonight as the Jefferson Blue Jays host the East Prairie Eagles. In week one, Jefferson escaped Kabul with a 26-24 victory, but East Prairie, they made an impact with a 59-0 victory over Kelly in week one. Other games on the docket: the Hornets of Crystal City traveling to Kelly. Grandview at home, they'll take on JFK. Herculaneum goes to Fredericktown with Perryville traveling up I-55 to take on the St. Pius Lancers. St. Vincent at home again for week two. They'll welcome in Scott City. The Trojans of Potosi hit the road for week two. They've got the St. Clair Bulldogs. Festus, they get to open up their home season week two, hosting the Sullivan Eagles. The Hillsboro Hawks, they stay on the road in back-to-back weeks to start the season. They've got Oakville tonight. St. Charles is at Windsor. Cuba goes to Herman. Fox, back-to-back home games to open up the high school football season. They've got Clayton tonight after that thriller of an overtime loss last week on AM 800 KREI. The Warriors hungry to bounce back tonight. The Sekman Jaguars at home hosting the Afton Cougars. Northwest is at home. They've got Riverview Gardens. One game on the schedule for tomorrow: the Park Hills Central Rebels taking on MICDS. We'll look further into our four broadcast games on regional radio up next as the Fleegs Equipment pregame show continues on regional radio.
First State Community Bank offers you solutions for your business needs. If your business is looking to accept debit, credit, or online payments, our merchant solutions can be customized for you to include point-of-sale terminals, online, mobile, and telephone payment acceptance, custom gift cards for your business, check processing, and even payroll card. First State Community Bank's industry experience, safety and security, and local 24/7 365 support are just a few of the key benefits for you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, I'm Wendy Hicks, owner of the area's newest pizzeria called Nana's Brick Oven in Farmington. Bring your family and enjoy our relaxed atmosphere and eat some made from scratch pizza and bread knots cooked in a 100% wood-fired oven. We also have fresh salads with three homemade dressings, and we have bruschetta. Check us out on Facebook, Nana's Brick Oven. We're located at 1162 East Karsh Boulevard off Highway 00 in Farmington. Come and let Nana cook for you today.
That sets the tone for week two of high school football across regional radio. Welcome back into the Fleegs Equipment pregame show. Four games lined up across our four formats tonight. J98 has Valley Catholic and St. Genevieve. On KREI, it's Farmington and North County. The Web TV exclusive has East Prairie on the road against Jefferson. And on AM 1400 KJF, the DeSoto Dragons open up the 2016 season at home in week two, hosting Bishop DeBerg. Let's look further in to our J98 game of the week that, The joke is always made, the town of St. Genevieve, it's closed this evening as Valley Catholic and St. Genevieve meet up on the gridiron for J98's crosstown rivalry. Now this one's impressive. No matter how you look at it, I don't care how you slice it, this is impressive. Valley Catholic comes in tonight on a 46-game winning streak. That alone is impressive, but when you say it's now the longest active winning streak from Sacramento to South Carolina, that is a big accomplishment. But Valley's head coach, Judd Nagger, gives us the early scouting report on the Dragons, and they know they can't take wins into tonight's game.
I mean, that are beginning to get some experience under their belt. I'm sure they'll have a lot of confidence under their belt. You know, they're on film for the first time. Anytime you've got young kids on film for the first time, you're going to improve the next week. Big, strong, young bunch that I think is going to continue to get better.
And a big storyline on both sides is missing personnel for Wyatt Lalamandir. Thought we were going to see him at the helm for St. Genevieve as their quarterback for the 2016 season. Baseball injury actually has Brandon Henson getting set for his second start. And for Dragons coach Ken Wyke, he said Henson looked good in week one after shaking off some early jitters.
He had some jitters just like we all did, especially some of our guys that got moved around. And Brandon actually, you know, he's been a backup there, but he got moved in pretty late. I was real happy with his overall performance. Obviously, I'm not happy with the interceptions, but those things are going to come. It's a kid trying to make plays, and he was trying very hard and doing pretty well.
And now St. Genevieve testing Brandon Henson before his second varsity start at quarterback for Valley Catholic. They'll be out without their what we were thinking was going to be their feature back for the season, Tristan Hook, suffering a similar injury to Lalamandir. Neither of those two will be on the field tonight, so we'll see who the next man up is. But another big factor in tonight's game, something that will happen before either team steps on the field. Had a chance to talk with the athletic director at St. Genevieve, Jeff Nix, earlier this week, and he says it's the first annual law enforcement recognition night.
We're doing a law enforcement recognition night. Both St. Gen and Valley are involved with that, and with you know it being such a big deal in St. Genevieve when St. Gen and Valley play, we're making it the first annual law enforcement recognition night. We're going to hopefully have some success with that and just having the community back our law enforcement agencies, and they're going to make some donations, and we'll do a little presentation. And if everything goes well, like I think it will, we're going to do it again at our place next year.
And Nick says the idea actually came from a member of the community.
There's a lady in town named Tani Bowman, and she approached both myself and Judd Nagger over at Valley and just said, hey, what do you think about doing this? And, of course, both Judd and I said, I think it's a great idea. And I took it to the other administration here at St. Genevieve, and they all thought it was a great idea as well. So it kind of stemmed from Connie, came from her, and she asked for both schools to participate, and we were happy to.
And that'll be your J98 Game of the Week for Week 2 as the Valley Catholic Warriors host the St. Genevieve Dragons. As I mentioned earlier, the St. Francis County teams all started off the high school football season 1-0, but somebody is losing tonight as Farmington and North County meet up in Bon Terre for the annual Heart Walk game. Farmington head coach Eric Krupe says the Raiders are going to be ready to go.
I think what we gleaned from that film is that North County's definitely improved, and they're a good football team. And, you know, obviously they beat another Class 6 school themselves in Sacramento. You know, and they went on the road and did the same thing. And so they're going to be fired up to play this Friday night. It's a rivalry game. Everybody understands that, and everybody's going to play like that.
North County coach Dave Dallas says the Knights, they played true to their identity in week one.
They're a good, solid football team. They do a good job doing what they do. There's no glamour to it. It's just, you know, they're physical on both sides of the football and they want to match that physicality. They are who they are, and that's what they do, and that's their approach to things. And it's a nice win for them, you know, a momentum win, you know, for them against Fox.
All right, Coach Dallas, what do you got to do to win tonight?
We got to be productive offensively, moving the football. You know, we're in the mouth a couple times, and that's fine. But, you know, we got to be effective moving the ball, you know, both on the ground and in the air. We feel like that, you know, be a balanced attack with them and keep them off balance a little bit. We got to be able to stop their run game. And
Chad Speaker and Luke Mell will have the call of our St. Francis County rivalry this evening on AM 800 KREI. Now let's look into what we've got on AM 1400 KJEF. The DeSoto Dragons turn their focus to the Bishop DeBerg Cavaliers, who will be visiting DeSoto after losing in Week 1 to Live for Life Academy. These two teams battled last year. It came away as a 28-21 win for DeSoto on the road. Dragons first-year head coach Chris Johnson says mistake-free football is the top priority.
They're the type of team that you have a couple of mistakes and you look up and, you know, they can put 14-21 on the board in the blink of an eye. So playing them last year, it was a great game, a slugfest back and forth. They scored, we scored. A couple turnovers ended up being really the key factor in us getting the victory at DeBerg last year. They did graduate some kids. They graduated some inside size type kids. Not as big as they were last year, but they're still very athletic. They're very explosive.
DeSoto beat Perryville on the road Week 1, and this week they'll get key players Lamont Allen, Brendan Poley, and Jordan Anderson back after they missed the opener, and Johnson thinks Allen and Anderson will make an impact.
Having Lamont and having Jordan out there will definitely give us a little bit more ability to maybe stretch the field a little bit or maybe pick up some larger chunks of yards that were a lot harder to come by this past Friday. But for us offensively, just trying to find that continuity. So hopefully having those kids back will give us the ability to maybe pick up some chunks of yards that would have been hard to have come by last week.
And one thing that Coach Johnson has been talking about all offseason, basically since he took over the job, was creating a good environment for this night.
We're definitely anticipating a good crowd on Friday night. Our kids have worked hard over the summer to really kind of get out in the community and be a part of it and really kind of show the hard work that they're doing and the upstanding kids that we have here. So I'm crossing my fingers, but I'm hoping that we have a good showing for our first home game on Friday night.
DeSoto looks to move to 2-0, while the Cavaliers looking to get in the win column for the first time this season. You can catch this one tonight on AM 1400 KJEF. All three of those games you can find streaming at MIMOinfo.com as well. The East Prairie Eagles take to the road to take on the Jefferson Blue Jays in our Week 2 Web TV Game of the Week. Both teams winners in Week 1 in different fashions, and despite the big win over Kelly 59-0, Eagles head coach Chad Jamerson knows Jefferson will be a test for his team.
Still early in the season. Conditioning always plays a factor this time of year. You know, we're very aware that it's going to be a physical game. Jefferson's a big physical football team. They're coached up really well. I think there's some good key matchups that we're looking for. And I think for us as a football team, I think it kind of gives us a barometer of how good we are as compared to how good we think we are.
Jefferson meets up with East Prairie in our Week 2 J98 Web TV Game of the Week. You can find links to each of these games, whichever you prefer. They're all tweeted out. You go to at MIMO Info Sports, MYMOINFO Sports, MYMOINFO Sports. We'll look at the other games for week number two, and then our broadcast teams will break down all of our week two matchups as the Fleegs Equipment pregame show continues up next on Regional Radio.
KP Automotive, across from the police station in Farmington, is your complete auto care center. Hi, folks. I'm Debbie Dietring. My brother and owner of KP Automotive, Kevin Probst, takes customer service to the highest standard. When you bring your vehicle in for any type of repair or maintenance, Kevin and his crew make sure your work is done professionally and at affordable rates. They really care about service and making sure you are satisfied. When you need complete auto care, remember KP Automotive at 2 North Main in Farmington or call 664-1311.
Cracked screen, water damage, battery not holding a charge, phone just not acting right. Bring it in to the Screen Spot for a free diagnostic and repair quote. With a certified repair technician on hand, they can fix all your electronic needs. The Screen Spot, located at 114 Rear East Main Street in Festus, located behind the DMV. Give them a call at 855-931-7768 and like them on Facebook.
Equipment pregame show. Sean Malone alongside Jordan Slocum will be having the J98 Game of the Week, and what a game it's going to be, Jordan. St. Genevieve on the road at Valley Catholic. We say on the road as a technicality because they're really not going all too far. Very short drive. St. Genevieve, not a very big town, but lots of storylines going into this game. Valley Catholic, after Edgewood Academy lost last week down in Alabama, now holds the longest active high school football winning streak with 46 games in a row. It's Law Enforcement Recognition Night, a community-driven event that was really pushed, and both teams being from St. Jen, it really makes sense. And to top all of that, one of the best players, if not the best player on Valley Catholic, Tristan Hook, out for the season with a torn ACL, we learned earlier this week. Jordan, out of all those storylines I mentioned, pick one to be your favorite, and we'll start with that one.
Well, the injuries is definitely a big factor in the game. We had found out with St. Genevieve before the start of the season, one of their key players, Wyatt Lalamandir at quarterback, out for the season with an ACL. And now for Valley to have a guy like Tristan Hook to be out, and you look at his numbers, he had 22 touchdowns last year, and he was one of the guys back on both offense and defense, one of their leading tacklers as well. To lose a guy like that, even with a team like Valley, which is always so good at replenishing their players, that's not a guy you want to lose for the year.
No, and that's what really has me curious, is who's going to be the next person to step up, not just at running back, but quarterback as well. Skaggs taking over, Mason Skaggs, for Connor Bosler, who was a fantastic all-around athlete, let alone just a quarterback. Great baseball player, great basketball player as well. He's gone now. It's the new era for the Warriors, and I'm really curious to see what we're going to get from Mason Skaggs.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Obviously, you can't replace 58 touchdown passes that Connor Bosler had last year, but you know, Coach Judd Nagger, you know, he's a master of different schemes, just confusing opponents and making the most of the talent he has. So whoever they plug in, obviously you look at the track record of the program, they're probably going to do okay.
Three straight state championships, three straight undefeated seasons, a lot on the line as well, and very tough to come into a season when you're losing both your starting quarterback and starting running back. But you mentioned it, and you nailed it. You know, every time a star leaves, a star returns. It reminded me, I was saying a few weeks ago during the Pigskin preview, almost like the high school version of Alabama football. Mm-hmm. You know, a superstar leaves for the NFL in Alabama, there's another superstar that's been sitting on the bench for 3 years who's now a senior or a redshirt junior, rearing and ready to go. And that seems to be the case with the Warriors. You know, one person graduates and another person steps up.
And that's what a culture of winning can create. And there's some of that with St. Genevieve High, too. You know, when your team is routinely successful, the kids that are coming up in middle school and younger, they look at that team and they say, I want to be a part of that. So you get more kids who get more interested in the sport, and you just get a bigger talent pool. And especially at the high school level with smaller schools, sometimes just having an extra few kids can make a huge difference.
And you mentioned St. Genevieve. Let's talk about their big replacement. Wyatt Lalamandir not graduating, but he's out for the season as well with a knee injury. Brandon Hinson steps in his first game, 198 yards, 13-22, two touchdowns, two interceptions, but all in all, for a guy who just moved to quarterback, not a bad first game.
Yeah, it's not a bad effort, you know, to start things off. He had played some quarterback in the past in a backup role, so it wasn't that he was completely new to it, but still taking over. There's a difference between taking snaps in practice and playing in varsity action, and certainly Brandon's probably not going to face a stronger test in the entire regular season than what he's going to get here in week two.
Yeah, it's really all downhill after you face this Valley Catholic defense, mm-hmm. and what a defense they were last year. Last season, they held 10 teams to 7 or less points. They also only allowed 5 passing touchdowns and 14 running touchdowns on the season as well. This is a 15-game season. That's one game shy of an NFL-length regular season. I mean, those are just ridiculous numbers for any team at any level.
And it's definitely not going to be easy for St. Genevieve, especially when Valley's offense is so quick to score. You know, this is the type of game that both teams, I think, are very capable of big plays. And if either team can get a quick lead, you know, that's the type of thing that can, you know, really tip the scales right away if someone gets a big touchdown in the first quarter.
The difference between a good football team and a great football team, in my opinion, is the ability to overcome adversity. Every team gets a bad call. They get a bad injury to a key player at some point throughout the season. It happens. It's a part of football. It's a part of sports. We'll see if St. Genevieve and Valley Catholic, not just tonight, but throughout the rest of the season, if they can overcome that adversity. It's the Fleegs Equipment pregame show. We're going to take a break, and coming back, Chad Speaker will preview the game on KREI, a rivalry game with good cause.
Change. If you're like most people, that very word puts a knot in the pit of your stomach. Hi, this is Kim Hudson with Coldwell Banker Holsey Real Estate. We recognize that the world is changing at a rapid pace with smartphones, internet searches, and apps for everything. At Coldwell Banker Holsey, we have kept up with the latest technologies in real estate, but more importantly, we live here, support our local communities, and still believe in personal touch. When you're ready to buy or sell your home, let us take the pain out of change. Coldwell Banker Holsey is located in beautiful downtown Farmington, or visit us online at coldwellbankerholsey.com.
Chad Speaker Baker and Luke Mel back on your Fleegs Equipment pregame show in week number two. Well, all the St. Francis County teams, unblemished. Everybody 1-0 so far, but somebody's going to have a loss after tonight as North County and Farmington meet. It's the Heartwalk game. Pretty cool deal. Luke Mel, you were a graduate of Farmington High. Did they have the Heartwalk back then?
Not back then, they didn't. No? This is something I think we've just seen here the last couple years, 4 or 5 years, I think is what it's been, it seems like.
It's pretty cool. The students raise money and they put it toward the fight against heart disease, so pretty cool. And that's what we'll be doing on pregame, on the track, and then they'll announce the winner, which student body did better. But, you know, kind of a neat deal. And then, then it's the football game after that. And Farmington 1-0, North County 1-0. And, Luke, as we take a look at last year's meeting where Farmington won it 34-6, both teams come in almost exactly the same way. North County in week one last year, a 35-0 win over Roosevelt. North County this year, a 35-0 win over Seckman, the identical score. For Farmington, a narrow victory on the road against an upper-class team. They beat Ladue by 3. They'd been in the state semifinals the year before in Class 5. Well, this year, an overtime win at Fox, a team that went to their district championship. So each one of these teams coming in just about identically the same way as they did a year before.
It sure is. And last year's matchup was actually favored Farmington a little bit. You know, after had guys like Braden Krause that just was North County didn't have an answer for. This year, maybe a little bit different story as Farmington going in and both teams still trying to find out who they are.
Yeah, Krause last year had a great game, 7 catches for 164 yards in that matchup. The defense, though, really the story for Farmington last year, the defense actually pitched a shutout. North County got their score off of a defensive play. I think Farmington's defense is better this year.
You know, we definitely last week we saw a lot of good things out of that Farmington defense. I thought the defensive line did a great job putting pressure on that Fox backfield. And Gavin Duncan, the leader of that linebacking core, really made a lot of plays there. And then the secondary was strong, too.
Duncan actually leading the team in rushing as well. He got over 100 yards, so pretty decent offensive showing. For North County, they've got a lot of good guys back, too. They lose some really, really good players, a little bit like Farmington did. But Coach Dallas feels like, on whole, his depth is better, his entire roster is better. They're going to start a sophomore, a quarterback, Luke, which sometimes can spell trouble. I don't think it does in this case. Colton Poorman, 5'9", 185 pounds. He's strong, he's solid, he's got a rocket arm, but maybe more than anything else, Coach Dallas praises this guy for his leadership, and he's just a sophomore.
Like you said, he's a big kid there, and he stands his ground, and if he can take care of the football and just control and run that offense, that's really all you're going to ask out of that guy, and that's really what you want out of your quarterback position.
Farmington defense did, a decent job last week in their victory over Fox. Fox is primarily a rushing team, and Farmington held them to just over 200 yards rushing. For North County, well, there might be an injury concern. Briley Smith is a very good rusher for this team, was injured last week, had only 6 carries for 65 yards, very good runner. Now, Matt Black came in and did a nice job, 10 carries for 53 yards. But what happens if you lose Briley Smith is Black now becomes your primary ball carrier, and you probably lose your best wide receiver because that's what Black is.
Yeah, and that kid's got some amazing speed, and we've seen him make some plays in that game last year, and we knew there was flashes of him. So this year he's really one of the go-to guys on that offense, and he kind of become one-dimensional if you got to put him in the backfield now.
I think both of these teams looking for balance, and I think that might be one of the keys, Luke, with both teams trying to establish the run. If you can establish that, then all of a sudden you can go with a secondary scheme. If you get up the middle, all of a sudden the outside is available, maybe a pass play. If you don't establish anything, you can't go to your secondary. And I think that might be the key is somebody establishing something and then using maybe another part of the game to spell the difference here tonight.
It sure was, and I think you're absolutely right, Chad. You know, Farmington was able to get the most out of their offense whenever they were able to run Gavin Duncan up the middle, and then they could go to the outside with some of those other guys, and that's really the key to the whole game.
Split household. You're a Farmington grad. Your wife's a North County grad.
I tell you what, it gets a little rough this week. I tell you, this week of the year is always a little rough at the home.
All right, we'll have fun tonight, though, nevertheless.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
That's Luke Mel. I'm Chad Speaker. Thanks so much for joining us on your Fleegs Equipment pregame show. We'll be back after this. It's Will Cheshire breaking down our KJF game of the week. Bishop DeBerg at DeSoto. It's coming up next right here on Regional Radio.
Farmers Mutual Insurance Company in St. Genevieve has been serving families in the area for over 115 years. Whether you need insurance on your home, mobile home, farm, or where you rent, Farmers Mutual Insurance Company can help. That's Farmers Mutual Insurance Company on St. Genevieve Drive in St. Genevieve. Call for a competitive quote at 883-3520. That's 883-3520. Farmers Mutual Insurance Company in St. Genevieve, a hometown company with hometown values.
Are you in need of print solutions? The UPS Store in Festus offers a full range of print and finishing services for small businesses, nonprofit organizations, and individuals. We offer the lowest copy prices in the area. Black and white copies are 6 cents and color copies are 36 cents on letter-sized paper. Just remember 636. Count on the UPS Store in Festus for quality print and finishing solutions with professional results. That's the UPS Store in Festus in the Gannon Plaza.
In the KGF game of the week, it's the DeSoto Dragons playing a host to the Bishop DeBoer Cavaliers in week two. Of course, DeSoto coming off of a clutch 23-15 win over the Perryville Pirates in week one. Bishop DeBoer, a very young team. They lost their opener 21-14 to Lift for Life. Of course, DeBoer is a city team. The Cavaliers are coached by Brian Simmons. The Dragons coached by Chris Johnson. And last week, the Dragons, well, they missed three key players, including star athlete Lamont Allen, who's also a track star. They did not get their three practices, and those three key players really hurt them a little bit in that last game. Offensively, Zach Smith, just 3 of 15, throwing the football. All three of those balls were thrown to Caleb Keim. Keim had three catches for the game. Zach Smith, though, ran the ball 10 times at 120-plus yards rushing and a touchdown on the ground. So even though he wasn't effective with his arm, very effective in his feet. They'll look to change that, though, by getting a couple of key receivers back. And obviously Lamont Allen and also Jordan Anderson as well. So those guys will certainly pay dividends for the Dragons offense. No doubt about that as they get set to face the DeBoer Cavaliers tonight. And Bishop DeBoer, let's turn their focus, or turn our focus, I should say, to them for the moment. The Cavaliers just had two wins last season in a 2-8 campaign. They graduated 19 players, only four seniors that are returning that were starters last year. They have no skill players that are returning. They got a brand new quarterback as well. Look for them to run a 3-5 base defense. They're a type of team that doesn't like to blitz all that much because they are a young team. So look for them to kind of play it safe a little bit. And then offensively, they're going to mix it up. They're going to give you some different looks. They're going to throw you the spread, give you a pistol and a little bit of a double wing look as well. An interesting thing to note about Coach Simmons, well, he graduated from Bishop DeBoer. It was his alma mater in 1985. He was in that class, and he's had a lot of success in his career. He's the head coach at Lutheran North, where he reached the semifinals and quarterfinals of state. He spent 3 years at Hazelwood North, and he had two semifinal appearances in state and one quarterfinal appearance as well. So he definitely is used to success. So look for him to really turn his alma mater around for sure. And they also co-opt with Hancock this year in order to fill a team. Otherwise, there would not have been a football program for Bishop DeBoer. So I think some key points of this game is DeSoto going to get back to their offense, and getting those players back, and Anderson and Allen offensively will be huge for them. Zach Smith will have more weapons at his disposal. So for them, it's going to be all about hurrying up on the football and being able to kind of let loose a little bit offensively. Of course, they run a real quick-paced offense, so they're still getting used, working out those kinks. Some experience is good, but the Dragons' defense was the story last week, and that will have to be this week, or the story this week as well, if they want to come out on top against a Cavaliers team that's very capable of running the football. They also throw it as well. They threw it 13 times last week in their loss. The Dragons also throw it quite a bit as well. So you're not going to want to miss these two teams as they get set to play tonight on KGF in your game of the week. DeSoto Dragons looking to move to 2-0 on the season, while Bishop DeBoer looks to move to 1-1. One thing that Coach Johnson's looking forward to, the Friday night light atmosphere. It's finally time. First home game of the 2016 season tonight
at DeSoto Dragon High School, or DeSoto High School, I should say. Tune in to KGF. And, of course, a proud thanks as we send it back to the studio to Greg Armbruster for the rest of the pregame show brought to you by Fleek's Equipment.
Accidents happen, even to the best drivers. When you need a repair, call Crown Collision. They're a preferred provider with many insurance companies. They handle your rental, and if a rental's unavailable, they'll arrange for a loaner car. Fill out the paperwork, do your repair quickly, and detail your vehicle so it looks new. It's simple. Just hand them the keys.
This is Ron Akers. Accidents do happen, and when it happens to you, Crown Collision is a great place to start. Crown Collision, it's your vehicle and your choice. Just hand us the keys.
You are not one who simply follows the herd. For you, a tractor is a functional tool, not just a color of paint. At Cole's Tractor and Equipment, we invite you to compare before you buy. Heck, we encourage you. Don't pay those franchise fees. LS, the major brand maker, offers a 5-year warranty, the best on the market. Compare the LS tractor to other brands. We know you will find more standard features, including the R4 industrial tire, quick attach loader, skid steer quick attach bucket, dual hydraulic remotes, and much more. Simply put, get more features, the best quality, and the best warranty with lower prices. We know you'll find yourself saving thousands below other major brands. Come see us at Cole's Tractor and Equipment today, 1 mile east of Farmington on Highway 32. Give us a call at 573-756-4353. You are not one who simply follows the herd. For you, a tractor is a functional tool, not just a color of paint. At Cole's Tractor and Equipment, we invite you to compare before you buy. Heck, we encourage you.
It's the last leg of the Fleek's Equipment pregame show. Just over 3 minutes until we send it out to the broadcast locations to start week two of high school football. Tonight on J98, it is the Crosstown Rivalry with the Valley Catholic Warriors hosting the St. Genevieve Dragons as the Warriors look for their 47th victory in a row and try to maintain the nation's longest active win streak. For St. Genevieve, now new quarterback Brandon Henson tries to lead St. Genevieve to the first victory over Valley Catholic in 4 years. It's St. Genevieve taking the last three. AM 800 KREI has the St. Francis County Showdown. It's the Heartwalk game with the Farmington Knights on the road to take on the North County Raiders. Chad Speaker and Luke Mell have the call for you on AM 800 KREI. The DeSoto Dragons, they've got Bishop DeBerg for DeSoto's Week 2 home opener for the 2016 season. It was a battle down to the wire a year ago between these two, with DeSoto finishing on top over DeBerg on the road 28-21. For Web TV, Jefferson hosting the East Prairie Eagles as both teams try to get to 2-0. Other games on the schedule for Week 2 have Crystal City at Kelly, JFK goes to Grandview, and the Battle of the Black Cats with Herculaneum at Fredericktown. It's Perryville traveling north up I-55 to take on the St. Pius Lancers. Scott City, they're on the road, but St. Vincent at home. They'll welcome in Scott City for Week 2. For the Potosi Trojans, they hit the road for Week 2 after opening up the season at home. Potosi is at St. Clair. Festus opens up at home for the 2016 season in Week 2. They've got the Sullivan Eagles. Hillsboro, they stay on the road for Week 2. They're going to travel to Oakville in Week number 2. For St. Charles, they've got a road game as the Windsor Owls host St. Charles for Week 2. It's Cuba going to Herman, and Fox back at home for Week number 2. They've got Clayton this evening. The Afton Cougars travel to take on the Sekman Jaguars, and Northwest at home tonight welcoming in Riverview Gardens. One game scheduled for tomorrow has Central on the road at MICDS. We are just about to send it out to the studios. Make sure you check back in with us as we come back to the studio for the Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy Halftime Show. And we will recap a very busy end of the night with a Home Pools and Spas in Jones show on regional radio. But you never have to miss a single score if you keep an eye on that Presbyterian Manor scoreboard that you can find at MIMOinfo.com. That's MIMOinfo.com. Let's send it out to our broadcast locations for Week 2.
CDR,
Live from St. Genevieve, Sean Malone alongside Jordan Slocum. It's your J98 game of the week as the Valley Catholic Warriors will be playing host to the St. Genevieve Dragons. It's Law Enforcement Recognition Night, an event that really was brought on by the community. They really pushed both teams to do it. And, of course, naturally, both teams said yes, both of them from the St. Genevieve area. They just finished up the ceremony honoring the officers, pregame, a prayer, the national anthem, and we're just waiting for both teams to come out onto the field right now. Lots of storylines coming into this game. I guess the biggest storyline, though, is the replacements. You got a new quarterback for St. Genevieve, you got a new quarterback for Valley Catholic, and you got a new running back for Valley Catholic as of this week, too, because Tristan Huck out with a knee injury for the season, torn ACL.
Yeah, it's never a guy you want to lose, especially looking at his numbers last year. He had 22 touchdowns rushing, and he was also one of their leading tacklers defensively. It'll be interesting to see how their running game adapts because their starting running back, Cody Stoll, he's 5'5", 135. That's a pretty small running back, but sometimes those guys can be the most frustrating to tackle because they can just slip by you. So we'll see how he does in the running game. And, of course, you know, Valley, that spread offense, their passing game is always such a big factor that if they can pass effectively, something, you know, usually hear run to set up the pass. It might be the opposite tonight for Valley.
I'll tell you how small Cody Stoll is. When I saw that he was listed on the roster as 5'5", 135 for a senior running back, I didn't write it down at first because I thought that maybe, you know what, it's wrong. It's not updated from last season.
Yeah.
There's no way that's right. We saw him on the field, and you're right. He is very small, but you made a great point with the Darren Sproles comparison. I wonder if that's the type of player we're going to see because rarely are you that size, and you're not going to be a power running back. You know, we're not expecting the truck, Tristan Huck.
Yeah, growing up as a Colts fan, I have nightmares of Darren Sproles with the Chargers. He did some bad, bad things to the Colts in those games. You know, those types of running backs can be very dangerous, and, you know, they've just got athleticism top to bottom. What St. Genevieve has, though, is a pretty good size on that defensive line, and that might be an advantage that they can try to use.
Yeah, they certainly do have some good size on the defensive line, but the speed is going to be the factor as well. We know what Valley Catholic can do. They love to spread the ball around. They got four wide receiver sets all the time that they're running, so you're going to need to be quick and athletic on defense.
And the thing with Valley is that they have a bunch of different receivers, and they're all very, very good. It's not a case where they send four wide and only one of them's a real threat. You know, Cole Wood's their most dangerous receiver, but everybody else they'll send out are guys who are very talented, very quick, and very good hands. So you can't just double up one guy and expect to be good on the other guys. You know, they all can beat you and all burn you.
Cole Wood, returning from last year, had 13 touchdowns on the season that led the team. Also returning another receiver who made an impact last season, Tristan Rollhouse. A pair of new names for the receivers on the slot left side. For the most part, it'll be Coleman Keeley. And outside right, it'll be Josh Bader at wide receiver as well. But Mason Skaggs is the new man at quarterback. Connor Bosler has graduated, so the era of Bosler is done. Great 2 years under Connor Bosler. Two more 15-win seasons, two more state championships. But now it's Mason Skaggs' turn.
And Skaggs, now he's only a junior, but he had a pretty good week one in their big victory, 77-0. You know, and it's just a program that, obviously, when you have the longest winning streak in the nation, you just know how to coach him up. Coach Judd Nagger does such a great job of just having his guys just smart football, guys who know what they're supposed to do and just outthink a lot of their other opponents. Although St. Genevieve's going to be one of the tougher teams to try to outthink because Coach Ken Weick on the other side does a pretty good job.
Yeah, and another big storyline in this game, you mentioned replacing, and there's more to just this year than replacing. They've been doing that for quite a few years now, and that's why Valley Catholic coming into this game, they have the longest active winning streak out of any high school in the United States of America as they are coming out onto the field right now, walking in between the cheerleaders. There's a reason why they have that, and it's not just because they have one great player. It's because when great players leave, great players step up. You know, I've made the comparison a couple times already in this past week. It's like Alabama football out here. I mean, you lose a great player, and everyone on the outside is sitting there thinking and asking, what are they going to do now? How are they going to move on without him? And on the inside, they're sitting there, it's like, yeah, we got this. We got this guy. Oh, we got this guy. You know, next man up. And that's what seems to be the case for Valley.
And here's the thought with this senior class for Valley and their entire roster. This group has never lost a varsity football game. These kids have not
known what that feels like. I mean, St. Genevieve beat them in 2012, but those kids have already graduated. Those kids weren't on the high school roster yet when that happened.
Yeah, and that seems like quite a long time ago since Valley Catholic has suffered a loss. But now those players who were freshmen back when they never lost a game when the streak started, they're now seniors. The responsibility is on their shoulder. And this is something I brought up in the pregame, too, in terms of losing Tristan Huck. Every team goes through adversity. St. Genevieve lost their own starting quarterback in Wyatt Lalamandir.
Yep.
Now you got to overcome the adversity. It's Valley Catholic's turn to do that once again, as they've done in years past. When someone goes down or someone graduates, someone else steps up.
And it's definitely going to be a time to step up, because for both of these teams, week two, they're already thrown into the fire. This is going to be, you know, about as tough of a test as either of these teams will face, with the exception of when Valley plays Lamar in a few weeks. Obviously, for St. Jen, you look at their schedule, this is easily the toughest team on their schedule. And if you look at Valley, outside of that Lamar game, you know, Jefferson was pretty good last year, but, you know, this is going to be one of the toughest opponents they have in the regular season.
Awaiting the captains for Valley Catholic to get ready to head out to midfield. The St. Genevieve captains are already sitting out there on their sideline. They're on the far sideline. Valley Catholic is on the near sideline. The field is a green natural grass field with a little bit of patches of dirt and a little bit of, you know, a yellower grass, but I won't call it a bad field. I certainly played on a much worse field back when I was in high school on the East Coast. But they got the blue V with the white trim in the middle of the field and some old-school goalposts to our left and to our right. Behind the St. Genevieve side, behind the sea of green, just cars galore. Even if you look in the street, as far as the eye can see down the street, everyone in St. Genevieve seems to be coming to this game. To the left, you got a couple houses and a decent view through the trees of St. Genevieve. And to the right, once again, another
second
graveyard.
We got a graveyard. We also got an ice cream truck hiding behind the scoreboard. If any of the obviously they can't hear us because they're on the field, but any player that gets a touchdown and runs to the ice cream truck, you are my hero. Do that.
I will buy your ice cream. I will pay for the ice cream post game if you do that, because I would love to call something like that. But I'm pretty sure whoever would do that would get tossed from the game if they did such a thing. Captains coming out onto the field right now.
You got Wyatt Lalamandir, Dalton Giesler, Tyler Arnold, and Daniel Vaith on the St. Gen side.
And for the Valley Catholic side, you have Tristan Rollhouse, as well as Cole Keeley, Tristan Huck, as well as Cole Wood. A lot of athleticism out there for both sides.
And the amazing thing is, you know, it's a crosstown rivalry, but it's not a blood feud by any stretch. A lot of these guys are friends. A lot of these guys play, you know, like on the Legion team. We were covering them a few months ago. Lalamandir was a part of that, along with a lot of the Valley baseball players. So most of these guys, you know, they know each other. They've grown up with each other. They're friends. Obviously, there's a lot of bragging rights to win this game, but this isn't the type of rivalry where you're going to see dirty cheap shots or a lot of anger or anything. You know, this is mutual respect between these two squads.
If I had to describe this type of rivalry, it's a friendly rivalry. Mm-hmm. It's a brotherly rivalry.
Yeah.
You know, like on the field, once the whistle blows, you want to just knock the heck out of them.
Mm-hmm.
But afterwards, you're going to help them up. And then after the game, you know, you're going to hang out with them. You're going to see them at the local restaurant. You know, you're still going to be friends with these guys. St. Genevieve has won the toss. They have elected to receive. They'll be defending the end zone to our left. Valley Catholic will be attacking that end zone to our left. Valley on the other side, they will be defending the end zone to our right. St. Genevieve will be attacking that end zone. Valley will receive to start the second half.
And I think especially for St. Genevieve being the underdog, getting off to a fast start can go a long way. So I think it's kind of an interesting decision, but a good decision by Coach Wyke to say, hey, we want to start with the ball. We want to see if we can score on our opening drive.
I personally am always a proponent of defer to the second half. You know, I'd much rather have my first offensive drive when I can make adjustments after I've seen what the other team is doing. And then you also have the chance to double dip at the end of a half, too, where you can control the pace, score, and then get the ball back to start the second half.
Yep.
Going back to return for St. Genevieve. As they get started, it'll be Camden Rowe and Luke Brewster.
Also got Logan Reinhart back there.
Correction, yeah, that's Logan Reinhart and Luke Brewster that will be back there.
Cole Wood will be kicking it off from the 40-yard line. Tell you, Reinhardt's a guy, though, who, you know, he's got some experience returning kicks.
last year was their lead kick returner, so he's a familiar face out there if he gets the ball.
Camden Rowe was ailed entering this game. He's a little dinged up, too. We'll see if he gets in at any point, dealing with a groin injury. Logan Reinhardt was also injured, but obviously he's out there right now, rearing and ready to go. That is a tough dude, tough to get him out of the game. The kick is off. It is a high end-over-end kick received at the 10 by Luke Brewster. He takes it straight, veers to the left a little bit, shakes off a tackle, shakes off another tackle, and he's got room to run. He is across the midfield. He is at the 40. One player trying to catch up to him from behind. He is at the 20. He's at the 10. He is in the end zone to get things started. That is how you start a rivalry game, taking it 90 yards on the kickoff all the way to the house. Luke Brewster
mentioned having a fast start. I don't think there is a such thing as a faster start than to take the opening kickoff back. And now St. Jen, they have to feel confident after that.
One touch of the ball, and that's all it needs to quickly become 6-0. St. Genevieve drawing first blood very early on. Only took him 15 seconds to make it all the way down the field.
Giesler with an opportunity for the extra point here. 3 for 4 in their opening game, kicking the PATs.
Holding will be for St. Genevieve. Brandon Hinson, the quarterback. Giesler lines up, takes the two side steps to his left, kicking with the right foot. The snap is down, the kick is up, and it is through the uprights. And just like that, it is already 7-0 St. Genevieve. So we'll take a break, and when we return, Valley's chance to touch the ball for the first time. They're already down 7-0, first time they've allowed points this season. You're listening to High School Football on J98 The Boot.
Do you want to buy a home or car? Need to spruce up your kitchen or bathroom? Or maybe you want to start a business, consolidate debt, or go on vacation? Whatever the case, Bloomsdale Bank has a variety of real estate, consumer, and commercial loans. So when you need a home equity line of credit, a fixed-rate mortgage, a new or used auto loan, or a commercial loan, contact a loan officer at Bloomsdale Bank or apply online at bloomsdalebank.com. Bloomsdale Bank. Connected to our customers since 1914. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
So just like that, a 7-0 start favoring St. Genevieve over Valley Catholic. I would love to take a chance if I had done it earlier in the week. Now, in hindsight, to see the last time Valley Catholic trailed, I imagine it would have been quite some time ago.
It's not something that's happened very often for them.
So now it is, the tables have turned. And back to return is Tristan Rollhouse for Valley Catholic. The kick is a short pooch kick. It is grabbed by number 85. That's Josh Bader. He spins away from a couple tackles, takes it all the way to the 46-yard line, his 46, and that's where the drive will start for the Valley Catholic Warriors.
It's an interesting strategy to kick short like that, maybe trying to catch them off guard and see if you can get the ball back. Trouble is, if it doesn't work, you give them pretty good field position to start things off.
Trying to see if they could catch the team sleeping. Josh Bader not sleeping, though. He was ready to go for that one. So the Warriors break the huddle. You have Cole Wood on the far outside. On the near side, you have Tristan Rollhouse on the outside wide receiver. Mason Skaggs in the backfield. Flanking him to his right is Cody Stoll. Mason waiting the snap. He gets it on the clap. He hands it off. Let's see what Stoll can do. He comes to the near side. He carries one player a little bit, then finally gets taken down on the outside sweep run for a gain of about 5 on the play.
Brought down by Isaac Boyd, the sophomore defensive tackle. Yeah, Boyd 249, and Stoll running with some power. Stoll's 135, and he was kind of dragging him for a yard or two, and that's a guy with 100 pounds on him.
Yeah, Boyd has a 500-pound squat, and he had some jersey there, had the jersey grab, but could not quite pull Stoll in to wrap him up with his arms. Valley Catholic lined up already. They got twins to the right. Tristan Rollhouse, the outside receiver, on the near side. Switching sides from the right side of Mason Skaggs to the left is Cody Stoll. They get the snap, fake handoff. Mason is going to take it himself. He takes it up the middle, and he gets stuffed. Let's see if he got anything on that play. Looks like maybe he lost a quarter of a yard.
And they closed in on him very quickly. And that was only just a 4-man rush, but that defensive line so far looking pretty good for St. Genevieve. 35.
So it will be third down, 5 yards to go for the first down for the Valley Catholic offense. St. Genevieve would love to force a 3-and-out here. Already up 7-0. They got trips on the far side. Cole Wood is the middle receiver. Going all the way to the outside is Ryan Green.
Snap taken. It is a shuttle pass up the middle. Taken, stiff arm and brushing off a tackler and heading for Moore. On the inside is Coleman Keeley. He's got a first down.
About a 17-yard run there for Keeley, and that was the shovel pass worked out perfectly because the defense over-pursued a little bit and gave him the opportunity to get a nice gain.
The defense should have realized something funky was up when you have trips on the far side. Skaggs rolled to the near side, so they should have realized something was going on. Empty backfield here as Mason Skaggs takes the snap. Quick hit on the outside to Rollhouse. He drops that one. Initially had it, pulled it down. It kind of got held behind his back a little bit. Couldn't hang on to that football, though. It'll be second and 10. That's second and 10 following the first and 10. The Coldwell Banker Holsey first and 10. First and 10, State in Farmington, selling our community 1 yard at a time. Empty look once again with two wide receivers on either side and a tight end is Keeley. Snap, pump fake, and that one is thrown to Bader. He gets it on the outside on the hook pattern, and he is going to, is he in? No, he is pushed out at the 1 yard line. He got it, made his defender miss as he turned over his right shoulder towards our side and up the field and just barely pushed out at the 1 yard line.
And that was Hinson at safety, who tried to jump it and get the interception, just missed his timing, and that allowed the receiver to take off from there, 30-yard gain.
Valley lining up quickly once again. They got Bader on the slot right. Far right is Cole Wood. In the backfield, it's Mason. He hands it off. No, fakes it to Stoll. Pump fakes. He's got an open lane on the outside, and he is in for the touchdown on the one-yard scramble. 7-6 the score. Valley Catholic an extra point away from tying this one.
This might be that type of game where it's going to be a race.
And if you're St. Genevieve, you don't want to get into an offensive shootout with this Valley Catholic offense.
No, and that was a great drive for them. That one went 55 yards, and they only needed six plays to get it done.
So let's see if they get the touchdown here. If they get the extra points here. Green to kick. Snap is down. The kick is up, and it is through the uprights for the extra points. We're tied here at Valley Catholic at 7 apiece between the Warriors and the Dragons. We'll see what St. Genevieve can do. They're about to receive the ball for the second time this game when we return here on J98 The Boot with your Game of the Week.
Do you need dirt work? Matt Stroud Excavating and Hauling is the name to remember. If your job requires a high-lift dozer, backhoe, bobcat, dump truck, excavation, or hauling, Matt Stroud and his crew can get the job done right. Matt Stroud Excavation and Hauling covers St. Francis and surrounding counties, so give them a call at 573-756-2808 or 701-3258. That's Matt Stroud Excavating when you need work done.
Second drive of the game will start for St. Genevieve following the kickoff. Last time they received the ball in the kickoff, worked out pretty well for them as it was taken all the way to the house. Let's see what they can do here with this one. It is Reinhardt and Brewster back once again.
Brewster is that guy who took it 90 yards.
Kick is away, end over end kick. That is back and backing up. And taking it is Reinhardt. He's going to take it up the middle, veering left there. He's going to cut back to the right side. He gets wrapped up and taken down on the play at about the 21-22-yard line.
That's much better coverage that time by Valley Catholic, and not an easy road for St. Genevieve having to start pretty deep in your own territory.
So they spot it at the 24 for St. Gen to get things started here. Let's see what the St. Gen offense can do. Valley lined up, ready to go. They run a 4-4 defense. St. Genevieve breaks huddle. They got Logan Reinhardt lined up as the receiver on the near side. Shotgun set. Player comes in motion to the near side. Whistle blow. Let's see if we got a false start here.
First penalty of the game.
Let's see who they tag with that false start. A couple of Valley players clapping as it looks like it'll be on St. Genevieve. It'll be offsides on the offense.
Either way, Coach Ken Weick talked about in the lead-up, you know, they can't beat themselves. They can't give Valley little dumb mistakes because Valley will take advantage of that. You can't get away with that against a team like them.
Yeah, it goes for any great team. You can't make any dumb errors and give them more opportunities than they're already going to give themselves. Taking a look at the starters for Valley Catholic, you got Friend as the defensive end, Dalton Kurtz as the defensive tackle, Garrett McMillan the other defensive tackle, Coleman Keeley plays defensive end and outside linebacker depending on how they line up for that drive or that play. Same play once again, player coming in motion to snap, Hinson fakes it, he's going to drop back to pass, he throws it down the field, looking for Reinhardt, Reinhardt doesn't even see that one as it goes over his head, passed in by a couple of yards, repeat, same yardage, but second down.
Good idea, hitch and go for Reinhardt. He had a step or two on the corner who was covering him, but pass was a bit off the mark.
Yeah, just a little deep, and Reinhardt lost that one. He is dealing with an ankle injury. He was wearing a boot during training camp, was questionable coming into this game, but obviously he must be somewhat ready to go as he's out there playing ball. Blake Moore, the wide receiver, split out to the near side. Luke Brewster is in the slot on that side. He motions all the way across, handoff on the draw play, up the middle, breaking a tackle is Camden Rowe. He fumbles on the play. They call it a fumble. It's down. Valley Catholic, I believe,
jumped
on it.
No, ref's coming in. He said he was down first, which I think is the right call.
They're going to have to discuss this because one official did throw the blue beanbag. Another official is ruling that he's down, and they're moving it to third down, so that'll be a gain of about four yards on the play.
And I think that's the right call. I think that his arm hit the ground with the ball in it, and that's what forced it out.
Yeah, it looked like his knee also hit the ground before the ball forced the ground forced the ball out. So it is third down and 11 for St. Genevieve here. First down would be key. Blake Moore split out on the near side. You have trips on the far side. The ball is snapped. Hinson rolls out to his left. Throw on the flood route out pattern and is no good. Looking for Gabe Greminger on that play. That's incomplete. We'll see. I imagine that they're going to punt here deep in their own zone with fourth and long. And, yeah, here comes the punt unit.
Yeah, you have to. It would be a bad idea to try to go from it this deep in your own zone. And Cole Woods, a dangerous return man. He's one of the best athletes on the Valley roster. So you have to watch him as he goes back to the 44.
Hinton is also the punter, who's also the quarterback. So you got to be a little careful there. Snap is up. The kick is up. And it is going to be returned by Cole Wood at the near hash near the 45, his own 45. He shakes off a tackle past midfield, carries a couple other defenders to the 40-yard line where he's finally knocked down. And that's where the drive will start for the Valley Catholic Warriors. Great field position to start a drive.
Yeah, about 15-yard punt return. And that's when you have a great defense that forces three and outs, that's what you do. You get great field position. Makes life so much easier for your offense.
So the Valley Catholic offense will come out. They work very quickly. I imagine they'll do a lot of the same here, just keep the pedal to the metal. Breaking huddle. One running back to the left. I believe that is the backup running back, Chris Lloyd, who's getting some work. He gets the handoff up the middle, breaks through a few tackles, breaks through a few more. He's taken down 1 yard short of a first down.
Yeah, nice run by Lloyd. Didn't get taken down until Hinson grabbed him from the safety spot. Just a simple draw up the middle, but good blocking.
Lloyd, a very big lower body. He's got a lot of power down there. The snap, drop back pass, a shotgun. It is thrown deep and overthrown is Tristan Rollhouse. The captain trying to see if he can hit him on the streak route on the outside. Mason Skaggs was looking for his second touchdown of the game, this time through the air.
I was wondering if they were maybe going to call interference on Greminger, who kind of got a hand on him toward the end, but I think uncatchable ball probably ruled that out.
And that's always tricky because the wide receiver is always going to argue, well, it would be catchable if he didn't grab me. Twins right, one split left, tight end to the right side as well. Running back to the right of the quarterback Skaggs is Chris Lloyd, changing the play at the sideline now. Lloyd is going to switch over to from the right side to the left side of Mason Skaggs. Snap is low. It's grabbed by Skaggs. Dump off pass to Lloyd. He's got a little bit of room to run with. He drives through a defender, gets taken down for a first down at about the 24-yard line.
And that was good awareness. They saw that they were going to blitz, and that allowed a little dump off to the running back to get open for a nice gain.
And I like the play calling on second down, too. Let's go back to that for a second. You got second and one, so you got some options to work with, and they decide to attack down the field rather than just go straight for the first down. Skaggs in the backfield, Lloyd to his right. It's a rollout to the right. He's got three receivers out there. It's going to be a designed run play as the receivers downfield are blocking. Running through the open lane and picking up a couple yards, taking about 7 yards on the play, maybe eight, is Skaggs.
Now they got about second and three coming up. They've got a high-paced offense. They're back to the line.
No huddle on the far side. Split out is Cole Wood. He's the lone receiver out there. Skaggs gets it. Hands it off to Loida, who goes from right to left. Loida, he's got some room to run. He turns it upfield, and he's in the end zone for a touchdown. Look, I'm not trying to take anything away from Loida on that play, but that is fantastic blocking. Anyone could have ran through that hole for the touchdown. Give credit to Chris Loida earlier on that drive, though, but that is all offensive line, that touchdown.
Yeah, he didn't get touched. That was great blocking from top to bottom, and that's the type of thing that Valley does. And Valley doesn't necessarily have the biggest linemen, but they have very well-disciplined, fundamentally sound guys.
So the extra point to come. Green is the kicker. He's awaiting the snap. St. Genevieve now trailing 7-13. The snap is high. It goes back, and it is scooped up by the holder, who falls on top of it. So it will remain 13-7, Warriors on top of the Dragons. We'll take a timeout and return with the Dragons getting the ball back. Let's see what they can do round three. You're listening to St. Genevieve versus Valley Catholic right here on J98 The Boot.
Kerry Buckley Towing and Recovery in Park Hills offers 24-hour towing and wrecker service. Kerry Buckley and his employees pride themselves on quick and reliable towing, winching, lockouts, jump starts, and roadside service, as well as towing and wreck recovery for tractor trailers. Big to small, Kerry Buckley Towing and Recovery does it all. Just call 431-2117 or 756-4563 for dependable 24-hour service from Kerry Buckley Towing and Recovery.
It is a 13-7 lead following the failed extra points from Valley Catholic. We'd like to thank a couple of our sponsors, Jokerst Incorporated in St. Genevieve and MFA of St. Genevieve. Cole Wood to kick off once again for the third time this game now. It is a high end-over-end kick, and it is picked up by one of the up men on the outside. He lowers his shoulder, gets a few yards. That's Camden Rowe. And where are they going to spot him there? They spot him at the 27-yard line.
Yeah, this is only the second drive coming up for St. Genevieve since they had that opening kickoff return touchdown. The first drive, not so much. They had that false start right at the start of it and went nowhere. We'll see how they do on take number two.
Yeah, so far the offense hasn't had much success because that was the opening kickoff that scored that first touchdown.
Small sample size, though.
Very small sample size. So they break huddle, two wide receivers on the near side. It's Blake Moore on the outside. I believe that's Drew Toombs in the slot. The snap. Skaggs hands it off to Rowe. Rowe gets taken out in the backfield. Loss of about one on the play. Valley Catholic defense, they close very quickly.
As Rollhouse and Friend, who are both in there on the tackle. Friend on the from the defensive end spot. Rollhouse from the corner spot.
They break huddle. Trips on the far side for St. Genevieve. Geisler all the way on the outside. Snap, play fake, thrown, and that is going to be picked off and going the other way. Picked off by Josh Pater. He's got room. He's got one man to beat. He dives and he beats him. He is in the end zone for a touchdown. Right back at you, says Valley Catholic, with their third touchdown of the game, this time coming on the defensive side of the field.
Yeah, there was some sort of miscommunication there because that one was pretty much right into the hands of Bader for a 35-yard interception touchdown. Easy one for him to catch and just take off. And you know, now the confidence is going to go. It's going to get in your head. Oh, this is what Valley does.
Yeah, they start just piling it on. And now comes the extra point once again. Let's see if they go for one or two. A little hesitation from the sideline for Valley Catholic. Looks like they're going to go for two here.
They didn't have the extra point missed on the last try because the snap was bad.
They don't have a play out there yet, but the play clock is already running. It's down to 15 seconds. They're not even lined up yet. Now they're starting to line up. Here we go. It's an empty set for the Valley Catholic Warriors for this extra point with Mason Skaggs, the only man back there, a quarterback. Player comes in motion towards him. It's going to be a fake. Mason Skaggs up the middle. He's in there for two. 21-7 is the score. The Warriors on top following the pick six and the two-point conversion. We're going to take a break and return. It is a big lead for Valley Catholic. Can St. Genevieve get anything on offense? You got to stay tuned to find out.
We're open.
What's open?
Fliggs Equipment is open.
Well, duh, you've been open for over three generations.
Listen, I mean the new location in Ludington is now open today.
Wait a minute. I thought you just said the new Lettington location is open too.
We are open. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Look for the red door and tractors on the south side of the Lettington exit, Highway 67. Fliggs Equipment. Let our family serve your family. In St. Genevieve and now in Lettington.
Or online at Fleegs.com.
Fleegs Equipment, home of the legends in farm and lawn equipment like Vermeer, Kuhn, Massey Ferguson, Hustler Turf Equipment, Mower Man, and the Queen of the Green. Whether you have a one-acre lawn, a football field, a golf course, or 1,000 acres of crop, Fleegs Equipment has the right piece of equipment for you. Work with the legends who know the importance of your time, your job, and your money. Fleegs Equipment, Highway 32 in St. Gen and Highway 67. In Lettington.
Kickoff return by Logan Reinhardt. He is taken down by the kicker on the far side. Reinhardt got it on the near side, about the 10-yard line, reversed field and took it all the way to the opposite side. Had one man to beat, just could not get quite past him. Granted, that kicker, though, is Cole Wood, so it's not just anybody he had to beat on that play.
And the only touchdown for St. Genevieve right now is on that kick return. If I'm Valley in the future, I'm probably just going to try to kick it away from them. Don't let them even get a chance.
Yeah, their offense hasn't been able to get anything going so far. Again, still a small sample size, but, you know, put your faith in your defense. You know, just kind of squib it straight up the middle.
They're taking a water break timeout here as we're about halfway through the first now.
It gives us a chance to thank a couple of our sponsors. We'd like to thank Rosie's Posies in St. Genevieve, Dwayne Doza Auto Body in St. Genevieve, and Marzuco Electric in St. Genevieve. And make sure you stay tuned for the Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy Halftime Show. Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy specializes in special orders. If they don't have it in stock, they'll get it to you the very next day. Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy, your total healthcare destination in Deloge, Fredericktown, and Ironton. And while we have the chance, let's take a look at some of the stats. Stats brought to you by Bloomsdale Bank, connected to our customers since 1914. Jordan, what have you got for us?
Right now, offensively for St. Genevieve, they have all of 4 yards, and that was on the ground from Brewster. Hinson passing is 0-for-3 so far. Meanwhile, for Valley, 57 yards on the ground and 38 through the air thus far.
First and 10 for St. Genevieve to get things started here. Coldwell Banker, Hulsey Real Estate in Farmington sponsoring the first and 10. They got trips to the near side, one split out to the far side. It's Geisler all alone on the opposite side of the field. The snap, roll out to the near side by Skaggs. He's going to stop. He throws. That one is in there for completion. Gabe Greminger with the catch. He picks up 12 yards on the play and a first down, taken down past the yard marker by Ryan Green.
That was a good job by the offensive line. They rushed four, and they picked up the rushers, and Hinson doing a good job scrambling a bit to his right to buy just enough extra time.
Yeah, give credit to Hinson, too, as he was rolling to the near side and saw the player was in front of him, didn't keep rolling out. He just stopped on a dime, settled, and made the pass. So another first and 10 here. Trips to the near side, one split out far on the wide side. Hinson gets the snap, handoff to Rowe. He has to loop around a defender in the backfield. He picks up a few yards on the play, gets pushed out of bounds. Pickup of about 2, maybe 3 on the play.
That's a nice job by Camden Rowe just to get anything on that one because he had a couple guys in the backfield with him right at the beginning, but ends up getting, they'll give him 4, so 2nd and 6 coming up. 39 yards from Paydirt.
Gave him a very generous spot there, at least from my point of view. There were a couple of players on the Valley Catholic sideline blocking my view, so I'll give it to the officials there. They definitely had the better perspective. Dalton Geisler split out far wide to the far side of the field. In the slot near him is Greminger. Snap. Hinson. Pump fakes. Now he's going to throw down the field. He's got his receiver, and it is caught by the wide receiver for a touchdown. That's Dalton Geisler taking it to the house.
39-yard touchdown pass right on the money. Offensive line, again, did a great job. Only a 4-man rush. They picked it up perfectly. And the throw that time, perfect from Brandon Hinson.
Yeah, absolutely on the money. He did overshoot Logan Reinhardt, his receiver earlier in the game, who's been battling an injury, and so Reinhardt, he hasn't really had a chance to practice all that much this week, but this time, money with the throw to Dalton Geisler. So Hinson is the holder, Dalton Geisler getting ready to kick. Snap is high, it is pulled down though, the kick is up, and the kick is good. St. Genevieve not going quietly as the score is now 21-14. Warriors still on top. They'll get the ball when we return. You're listening to the Game of the Week on J98 The Boot.
Do you like riddles? How about this one? What kind of window is neither made of glass nor wood, is short, not tall, and once open and then closed, may not open again. If you said the window of opportunity, you're correct. That window is yours right now with the low fixed mortgage rates New Era Bank is currently offering. So even if you didn't get the riddle, you can still use the window by calling New Era today and start saving money with a New Era Bank home loan. New Era Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Valley Catholic, it's quite a fight against them so far, something they haven't seen in quite a while, especially a better fight than they saw last week against St. Vincent.
That's huge for St. Genevieve to get that last touchdown, though, just to get some confidence. After giving up three touchdowns in a row, that can get in your head, but it's 21-14. They're still very much in this game, and we're not even halfway through the first quarter yet.
No, we still got 6 minutes and 14 seconds left on the clock. Giesler, he boots this one all the way back to return is the little man. That's Cody Stoll. He picks it up at about the 10. He loops through a couple guys, can't get through the third one, though. I like Stoll. He's a little guy, but he runs straight downhill. A lot of power behind those legs. You need to get more than just an arm on him, even though he's a little guy. He's digging down. They're going to spot him at about the 30-yard line.
Yeah, nice return there, and we'll see what Valley does on this drive. So far, their offensive drives have all been touchdowns. They've got 3 touchdowns in this game, 2 on offensive drives, and then the pick 6 from Bader. So far, so good for Valley offensively.
Yeah, so far, so good to say the least, at least on the offensive side. So the ball starts for them on their 30-yard line. Mason in the backfield. To his right is Stoll. Split out on the near side alone is Tristan Rollhouse. On the far side, you have Cole Wood in the slot. Looks like you have Josh Bader and a tight end on the far side, too. Delay of game.
They got the snap right as it hit 0. But I think that's a good call.
Yeah, Skaggs has his hands up, palms up, like, are you kidding me with that call? But the clock hit 0, and they have clocks on both sides. That's the disadvantage to changing the play from the near sideline.
Yeah, sometimes quarterbacks can, a lot of times when it hits 0, you get kind of like an extra half second before the ref calls it. But the ref was pretty quick. As soon as that hit 0, he had the whistle blown.
Tie does not go to the runners in this situation. So now they'll reset. New play here as it's a different alignment. You got in the near side slot, Tristan Rollhouse dropping back to pass in a shotgun. It is thrown over the middle on a slant pattern and breaking a tackle and taking it for more is the tight end, Coleman Keeley. He's in the open field. He's at the 20. He's at the 10. Keeley takes it all the way to the house for a touchdown. Huge run there by Keeley as he takes that one 70-plus yards for the score.
And yeah, there was a lot of traffic there, too, over the middle on that deep post, but the pass was right on the money by Skaggs. He broke the guy who was closest to him and got a block or two to go the rest of the way. 76-yard touchdown. Skaggs already over 100 yards passing, and we're just now halfway through the first quarter.
Yeah, just now halfway is right at the 5:56 mark, and you know, St. Genevieve, they're pulling very tight on these receivers, so all it takes is one broken tackle to take it all the way to the house, especially with the athletes that Valley Catholic has. Ryan Green back to kick, awaiting the snap. Snap is a little low. It is down. The kick is up, and it is no good. Wide right, wide right, wide right. So the second missed extra point for Valley Catholic. St. Genevieve's still in it, but they're going to need to keep up with this Valley Catholic offense. We'll see if they can do that when we return here on J98 The Boot.
Having great insurance is, well, great, but knowing who will repair your auto right and quickly is just as important. That's why you should know about Brad Wooten Auto Body. With over 20 years of hands-on experience, Brad Wooten continues to set the standards of excellence. Brad Wooten Auto Body is a direct repair facility, has loaner cars available, and offers you the same factory-trained ASC and ICAR certified technicians you're accustomed to. Now, the award-winning Brad Wooten Auto Body, across from the Ozarks Regional Library in Ironton, soon to be the number one repair facility in Southeast Missouri.
We are awaiting the kickoff here as St. Genevieve trails 27-14. It is a high end over end kick taken on the near side. That's Rowe who gets it. He was up one level, breaks a few tackles, and is taken down at about the 34, 35-yard line.
That's what I mentioned earlier. After a couple good returns by Brewster, don't even give him an opportunity to return it. He already burned you for a touchdown once in this game, and Coach Judd Nagger for Valley is not going to let that happen again.
Yeah, basically just telling his kickoff man, Cole Wood, just send that sky high. So St. Genevieve breaks huddle. They line up with two wide on the far side of the field, on the near side of the field.
We have Dalton Giesler lined up alone. An H-back on the left side as well as a tailback to the right of Mason. He hands the ball off, Hinson. He hands the ball off to Rowe, who loses a yard. And Rowe has had a really tough time getting past the line of scrimmage in this game so far.
Yeah, he couldn't get anywhere that time. The defense did a good job. Loida from the middle linebacker spot was the one who met him right at the line of scrimmage and made up pretty much a solo tackle. He got a little help at the very end, but that was mostly on Loida.
St. Genevieve breaking huddle here. They run a traditional style offense, at least with the spread. They don't run the no huddle like Valley Catholic does. Otherwise, there's a lot of similarities. The snap taken by Hinson. He drops back to pass. The throw is going to be high and through the hands of his wide receiver, Blake Moore. And, you know, based on how quickly Moore brought that down, I think he heard footsteps a little bit on that play.
Yeah, the throw was just a bit high. You know, it was a good idea, quick slant, and he was open. Just throw a little bit high, not an easy one to make.
The Valley Catholic student section making a lot of noise, and I'm sure they have a lot of fun at these games, especially with the success the team has had over the past couple of years. None of the students that are here that are at least still students and not alumni have witnessed a loss as students. 46 straight games have been won by Valley Catholic. St. Genevieve breaks huddle. Hinson in the backfield, Rowe to his left. He takes the snap, rolls out to his right. He had trips down there. He throws it to the outside curl route. That's Drew Toombs with the grab. He's taken down on the outside. Excuse me, that's Luke Brewster with the grab. Brewster picks up about 6 or 7 on the play, but he's still going to be short of the first down by a couple of yards. It's going to be 4th and 5, and here comes the punt unit for St. Genevieve.
Yeah, it's interesting to run a play with a short curl like that when you need 10 yards, unless you were going to go for it on 4th down, but they've got the punt team out here.
Yeah, you wouldn't. It's in this yardage where you're located, your own 45, you're not going to go for that one. So if they are going to call that curl play, you got to know the receiver to run it further. The snap, the kick is up. It is a high spiraling kick. Fair catch called by Cole Wood as he had to take a couple steps back to return that one. He grabs it at his own 24-yard line, and that's where the drive will start for Valley Catholic.
27-14 so far. You know, a lot of great sponsors, of course, we want to thank for, you know, helping us out on these broadcasts.
Sweet Things, Sweet Shop in St. Genevieve, Meyer's Shoe Store in St. Genevieve, and Sarah's Ice Cream in St. Genevieve as well. We would also like to thank St. Genevieve Care Center in St. Genevieve.
One quick score update. Already in the second quarter, Fredericktown 7, Herculaneum 0.
The scoreboard is brought to you by Presbyterian Manor of Mid-America. The way you want to live, go to FarmingtonPresbyterianManor.org. Taking the snap and handing it off. It's Loida who gets this one. He breaks one tackle in the backfield. Can't break the second one as he is taken down for a loss of 1, maybe 2 on the play.
That's the first loss of yardage for a Valley offensive play in this game.
Absolutely incredible offense. Not only does it have the big play capability, but it's consistent too, as that's the first time they've lost yardage on a play. Second down and 12 to go for the first down. Skaggs has one tailback in the backfield. That is Loida, who's to his left. Twin wide receivers on the near side, one on the far side. The snap, man-to-man. It is thrown, and it is scoop catch by Coleman Keeley. He sheds one tackle, and he finally gets taken down as he was ridden for a few yards by the defender that was on him. That's Luke Brewster, one of the safeties. Coleman Keeley with a big gain there.
You give Brewster credit just for holding on to him because that could have easily gone bad, and now St. Jen's going to call a timeout to talk things over after that play. It was just a simple, you know, post over the middle, and he only had a step or two on him, but pass right on the mark for Keeley, and Keeley was not easy to bring down.
Keeley, no, a big boy over 200 pounds. Very tough to bring down when he's got a head of steam. We'd like to take a second to thank a couple of our sponsors. County Dewitt Center in St. Genevieve, Crown Collision Center in Farmington, Fleeks Equipment in St. Genevieve, Megasports in Farmington, Home Pools and Spas in Lennington, and Parkland Healthmart Pharmacies in Deloge, Fredericktown, and Ironton.
Another scoreboard update. Jefferson and East Prairie tied at 0-0 after 1. And Herculaneum just scored. It's 7-6. They're down by 1 against Fredericktown halfway through the second.
3:45 remaining in the first quarter. It is a 27-14 lead for Valley Catholic, and they're driving here. And so far, it's been cover 0 for St. Genevieve. A lot of very tight coverage, trying to see if they can make the play at the ball. But with the risk comes the reward. And the so far, the rewards have been hard to find, but the risk has been very hard to find, too, as it's been big gains for Valley Catholic.
4 completions, 146 yards.
Valley Catholic, Skaggs, he takes the snap. He pump fakes, rolls to his right, throws it down the field. He's got a man wide open. It is caught by Cole Wood at the 11, and he takes it all the way to the house. Another touchdown for the Valley Catholic Warriors. They're up 33-14, extra point to come.
He's going to be close to 200 yards just in the first quarter, and that pump fake worked a little too well. St. Genevieve bid on it and came in, and that left Wood all alone. He had a few steps on the nearest defender, easy money.
And you know what? With the cover zero, once again, I wonder if that's something they mentioned in the huddle. You know, see if they, I didn't see what route Wood was running on the outside, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a double move and that pump fake to go with it as well, as he roasted his defender. They're going to line up to go for two here as they missed the one-point conversion, the extra point attempt last time. Stepping back is Skaggs. Pressure, he's going to roll to his right to escape the pressure. The throw is caught and into the end zone. That is Coleman Keeley with the touchdown. With the two-point conversion. 3:36 remaining in the first quarter. It is a 35-14 lead. Valley Catholic on top of St. Genevieve. You're listening to the MyMoInfo.com. The game of the week here on J98 The Boot.
Rosie Posies in St. Genevieve is your local neighborhood florist. At Rosie Posies, you'll step into the most beautiful little red house that will simply take your breath away. Browse jewelry, custom design items that make great gift giving, braided rugs, candles, and, well, the list goes on. Need direction with your wedding decor? Stop by Rosie Posies on 6th Street across from St. Genevieve School. The professionals that can help make your day memorable.
Valley Catholic getting ready to kick it off. They set it up once again on the far hash marks. Cole Wood puts his hand in the air, drops it, and he goes to kick it off. It is an end-over-end, very short kick, snagged by one of the up men who just takes a knee on the play rather than getting blasted. That's Drew Toombs grabbing that one. And the drive will begin in good field position for St. Genevieve as they now have it on their own 39-yard line.
Last drive was a punt. They were able to get a touchdown before that, but the trouble is against a team like Valley, you know, they put up points so quickly that very quickly you find yourself in a big hole.
Still 3:34 remaining in the first quarter here. It is a 35-14 lead for Valley Catholic over St. Genevieve, and this is already the sixth time St. Genevieve has touched the ball. Twins to the near side, one split to the far side. There's an H-back on the far side as well. The snap, pump fake, double play action. Now it is thrown high and almost picked off one-handed there. Almost pulled in by Mason Skaggs, the free safety.
Hinson so far in the game, he's completed 3 of 8 passes, 57 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. They've definitely been trying to pass more. They have 8 pass attempts and only 4 rushes.
And you know what? It's tough when you fall behind this early. You get tempted to go for the big plays and chuck it down the field, and it's worked sometimes for St. Genevieve, but other times it hasn't. They break the huddle. It's a twins on the near side, twins on the far side, and one in the backfield. Pump fake, and now it's going to be a draw taken by Camden Rowe. He breaks the tackle. He lowers his shoulder into one defender, and he gets put down backwards. Gain of about 1 on the play, maybe 2.
And that's a hard-earned short gain. Valley doing a great job just getting into the backfield on that play. But now, you never want to get out of your game plan, but if you can get a couple yards here and it's a 4th and short near midfield, you might consider making it 4 down territory here, but 3rd and 8, got to get some yards first.
Very tough to decide what to do here, especially, you know, this Valley defense, they've been all over the place, and so is the offense. They've been scoring from all over the place. St. Genevieve breaks the huddle. They got twins on the near side and H-back on the near side as well. The snap taken by Brandon Hinson. He rolls to his right, our near side. The throw is a little high. It is going to be snagged by Greminger. He loses it. They're going to call it incomplete.
Yep,
it was almost called a fumble as a couple of Valley Catholic players jumped on top of that ball, but I believe they're going to say that Greminger never really had control.
He never had possession. Just give credit again to Valley. You know, they're not bringing any blitzes to get the pressure on him. They're just rushing their front four, but getting good pressure on Hinson.
And they're playing very tight coverage as well, not really playing for the deep ball all too much. Punt formation coming out here for St. Genevieve. Cole Wood back to receive. Brandon Hinson is the punter. Snap a little high, but he gets it, though. Punt is off, almost blocked as someone was coming through for Valley Catholic. Poison call from Valley. Almost touches one of the Valley gunners. And then it rolls a little bit and is picked up at about the 27, 28-yard line of the Valley Catholic Warriors. That'll start their drive here
with 3 minutes remaining in the first quarter. Yes, we are still in the first quarter, folks.
That's a lot of points for a first quarter, and it's just been big gains for Valley. Mason Skaggs so far, 7 passes. He's completed 5 for 189 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I mean, when you have a score this big in the first quarter, you're going to have stats that are that big in the first quarter as well. So Valley Catholic breaks huddle. Twins on the near side. They got one split on the far side, a tight end on that side as well. Skaggs at the quarterback with Cody Stoll to his right. He takes the snap, hands it off to Stoll. He takes it up the middle, and it gets taken down for a gain of maybe 1 or 2 yards on the play.
And no hurry right now for Valley. They like to keep it up-tempo, but sometimes when things are going well, you don't need to rush things.
Yeah, no need to rush here, unless you're trying to kill the clock, which would be a little early in this game. Ryan Green, the slot receiver on the near side. He's flanked by Tristan Rollhouse. The snap to Skaggs. He drops back, holding it, and he feels some pressure. He is taken down for a sack. Looked like he was about to escape the pressure as he tried to lean his shoulder to see if he could duck under Talon Black. Couldn't quite do that, though, as he slipped a little bit on that play.
And Boyd and Karen were both coming hot as well. Good pressure that time by St. Genevieve, and they lose about 4 or 5 yards on the sack.
So that brings up 3rd and 12 here for St. Genevieve with 2 minutes remaining in the quarter and the clock running. Ryan Green, the receiver on the far side. He's on the outside. Colwood on the ball in the slot on the far side. Snap to Skaggs. He drops back. Pump fake to Rollhouse on his right. Now he's going to roll to the outside. Can still throw it. He does throw it, and that is going to be grabbed by Coleman. He has a first down. Coleman Keeley doing a nice job finding the open spots in the zone and man coverage, really becoming a go-to receiver for Skaggs when he's in a bit of trouble.
And give Skaggs a lot of credit. You know, he kept that play alive. Offensive line did a pretty good job. When you keep the play alive that long, eventually someone's going to get open. And that time it was Keeley.
So Valley Catholic lined up already. Twins on the near side. One back in the backfield is Stoll to the left of Skaggs on our near side. The snap, not sure if that was a misplay there or if it was intended to be faked like that, but to me it looked like maybe a miscommunication between Stoll and Skaggs.
Yeah, it's kind of an awkward play.
Yeah, and you see after the play, Stoll was patting Skaggs on the shoulder. I wonder if there was a miscommunication where Stoll thought he wasn't going to get it and Skaggs thought that Stoll was going to take it. Always tough when you have backups coming in to become starters, especially in the middle of the season. Dropping back to pass is Skaggs. He throws it and caught over the middle by Coleman Keeley, who was coming across. He sheds one tackler, almost sheds another, but carries him all the way to a first down. He's taken down at the 37-yard line.
He's just a hard guy to take down once he gets the ball in his hands.
6'2", 205. Not an easy player to take down, doing a great job as the tight end.
And I've already got him of having 138 receiving yards in the game.
Now, I wonder how many of those are yards after catch or yards after contact.
A lot.
Yes, quite a lot, as he's shaking off defenders left and right. Trips on the far side. It's Bader, Coleman Key. It looks like Bader and Colwood are on the outside. The snap, handoff up the middle to Loida. He spins off one tackler. He goes up the middle, picks up a few yards, gain of about 4 on the play.
And he got hit in the backfield by Talon Black, but a good job by Loida just to kind of bounce off of him and turn that into a gain of about 3.
Nice hard running by Loida. And, you know, I like the kind of smash and dash they got going on with the backfield now, although you would love to have Tristan Huck. Stoll's got the speed, and Loida's got the power. And that will be the end of the quarter as Valley Catholic lets the quarter run out. The quarter is finally over. It is a 35-14 lead for Valley Catholic already. The Valley offense almost unstoppable here in the first quarter. We'll see if that trend continues in the second quarter. Valley will still have the ball when we switch sides right here on J98 The Boot.
Who let the dogs out? Who? And who turned up the heat? Hey, David Sisson from Samson Ford Lincoln, home with a lifetime warranty. We're in the dog days of summer, and I want to help you beat the heat with deals that'll make you melt. This month, I'll give you up to $4,888 more than KBB appraised value for your trade to get into a cooler car. The deals are hot, but the AC is cold during our dog days of summer sale. We want to clear our lot before the summer's over, so I'll give you up to $4,888 more than KBB appraised value to trade in and up, even if you've been burned by credit in the past. I'll sweat the lenders out to get you approved. Come see me during our dog days of summer sale and get up to $4,888 more than KBB appraised value for your trade, and we'll get you in a cooler car. Only at Samson Ford Lincoln, home with a lifetime warranty. Want to really heat things up? Right now you can get no payments until fall on the new 2016 Ford models. Come see us soon before these hot offers end. Visit us online at SismFord.com or call 431-3177.
Requires bank approval. Vehicle purchase price affects trade allowance. Excludes sale price vehicle. See dealer for details.
Valley Catholic returns from the sideline here as we start the second quarter. Finally, the second quarter, as this has been a long first quarter so far, high-scoring first quarter, plenty of stats as well. And Valley Catholic, let's see how they set up. They have Tristan Rollhouse lining up on the far side. A couple late substitutions coming in as well, as there was some miscommunication. Coleman Keeley coming in late. They aren't quite set yet, though, so that won't be an illegal substitution. Trips on the far side. Coleman Keeley, the tight end, on the near side. The snap. Roll out to the right. It's going to be an option play. Speed option. Taking up the middle of Skaggs. He's got a lane to run through. He picks up a couple first downs. He picks up a couple yards. Gets the first down. And he is taken down at about the 22-yard line of St. Genevieve.
About a 19-yard gain. And Valley very close to having 300 total offensive yards in the game.
Still in the second quarter, might we remind you.
Yeah, 8 seconds into the second quarter.
Valley Catholic lining up. Similar formation this time. The running back is Loida. He's to the left. Skaggs gets it. He rolls to his left. He throws now for the end zone, looking for Cole Wood. That is tipped away at the last second by the defender. That's going to be Brady Boyer, I believe, with the tip.
And Boyer, step for step with Wood, who's not an easy guy to keep up with, did enough just to deflect it away from him. Good defense by the safety.
Wood actually did have this step on him, but you're right. Boyer was keeping step for step with him after that. And Boyer did a great job just sticking his hand up, getting just enough of that football. So Valley Catholic lines up again. Cole Wood is on the near side. He's also got Coleman Keeley as the tight end on the line. Stoll returns to the game. He's in the backfield to the right of Skaggs. They're changing the play now from the sidelines. Eight on the play clock. Excuse me, that's Loida in the backfield. Drop back pass. Quick hit to Cole Wood. He gets it, just sits down, as that was a low catch by Cole Wood. Gain of about five on the play.
And once you're inside the 30-yard line in high school football, you're pretty much in four-down territory. So you don't have to get the big gain. If you got the quick curl, take it.
Especially with the way the Valley Catholic defense has been playing, I say this is four-down territory if you're Valley. However, with their offense, they may not need that fourth down. They could easily score, get the first down here. Read option to the left. Loida gets it on the pitch, and he's going to be taken down in the backfield for a loss. Play made there by Dalton Giesler.
Giesler came in from that linebacker spot and made a solo tackle in the backfield. That's not an easy play to ever make, especially against a guy like Loida.
Yeah, and he read that very well because he was the option man on that play. He initially was playing Mason Skaggs, so Skaggs pitched it then to Loida, but he was able to close on Loida very quickly.
Now a big fourth down.
And they're going to go for it here as it's an empty backfield. Two receivers on the near side as well as the tight end. Two on the far side. And timeout is called.
There's a flag.
A flag on the play. Did anyone jump?
Some of the defenders on the St. Genevieve side, I think, might have just accidentally tapped into the offensive line of Valley.
And they do call neutral zone infraction on the defense. So that'll be a gain of five on that play, which won't be enough for a first down. But now it goes from fourth and about eight to fourth and about three,
yeah,
or
fourth,
two.
Fourth and three from the 15. That's a lot easier for a team like Valley.
It looked like that's what they were trying to do there, as in the backfield, Skaggs, you know, he claps to get the snap. That's their basic version of Omaha, I guess you could say. And he clapped a couple times, then he looked to the sideline. So it looks like they called a dummy play in the backfield before. They line up and whistle blown here.
Now we got a timeout.
And now a timeout is taken by Valley Catholic. 10-14 remaining here in the second quarter. It is a 35-14 lead
Valley Catholic driving there on top of the St. Genevieve Dragons. We'll take a break and return. You're listening to the Game of the Week on J98 The Boot.
New cabinets, fencing, or custom projects in your future? Creative Contracting in St. Genevieve specializes in new construction and remodeling of residential and light commercial projects. From room additions to a complete home, including decks and fences, Creative Contracting can easily complete your project on time and on budget. Call Creative Contracting today at 573-883-3846 or visit them at creativetouchllc.com. That's Creative Contracting.
It is a 4th and 3, 3.5 for Valley Catholic. We'll see if they go for it here as a 4th and 8. They came out with about a dummy call. And then 4th and 3, they broke the huddle, but then a timeout was called by head coach Judd Nagger. 10:14 remaining here. They're driving. They're up 35-14.
At 15 yards away from the end zone. So even if you don't get this first down here, St. Genevieve has to start deep in their own territory.
They're going to go for it here based on their alignment. Empty backfield, tight end and twins on the near side. Two more wide receivers split out on the far side of the field. Valley Catholic, they're switching sides, so they're attacking the end zone to the right now. Taking it on the snap is Skaggs. He drops back. Pressure, and he is taken down for a sack on fourth down.
Levi Gons came in untouched on the blitz. Huge sack there by the senior. He led the team in tackles in their first game last week, and he gets a big sack there.
Yeah, absolutely huge sack there, because not only does that force the turnover on downs, gives you much better field position too. This drive is going to start at about the 25-yard line for St. Genevieve.
That was a 12-yard loss.
So Valley Catholic, they're now defending. Let's see if St. Genevieve can get anything going here. They're down by a bit, but they're not quite out of this one yet. They break huddle with twins on the far side. The snap taken by Hinson. He's going to juke out one defender in the backfield. He carries another one from the line of scrimmage a couple yards. He's got a gain of about 8 on the play.
That was a good job by Hinson holding the fake as long as possible to draw the defense in to give him a little bit of extra space for that run.
Oh, and that is so difficult to do as a quarterback, because your mental clock just starts going bonkers the longer you hold it, because you think you're just going to get crushed by someone coming through the middle. But you got to trust your offensive line to keep you safe and keep you upright. So now 2nd and 2 here. See how they play this one. Clock is running with 9:33 remaining in the second quarter. Toombs on the near side. Snap, drop back to pass is Hinson. He's going to chuck it down the field following the pump fake. And no pass interference called on the outside, as it looked like that was an arm bar against Luke Brewster, the wide receiver trying to run down the field.
Yeah, he might have been slowed up a little bit by Skaggs, but it might have been incidental contact too, hard to tell. Mm-hmm. Definitely Hinson thought he was going to be farther down the field than he was by the time that ball left his hand.
Definitely tough to decide whether or not that was incidental contact or the defender on the play.
It was Mason Skaggs.
Mason Skaggs. Yeah, he may have had his arm out, sort of blocking his running path, which would be illegal. That's what's known as an arm bar in football. Snap, handoff to Camden Rowe. He's got some yardage this time, and he gets a first down. Gain of about 4, maybe 5 on the play. 1st and 10 for St. Genevieve. 1st and 10, Coldwell Banker Holsey Real Estate in Farmington, selling our community 1 yard at a time.
Some other scores from the area: Potosi blanking St. Clair right now, 21-0. DeSoto also blanking Bishop DeBoer, gets 19-0 in that one.
That's the Presbyterian Manors of Mid-America scoreboard. The way you want to live, go to farmingtonpresbyterianmanor.org. St. Genevieve breaks huddle. Twins on the far side, H-back, and a wide receiver split out to the wide on the near side. The snap taken at the far hash mark. Hand off to Rowe, and he's got nowhere to run. Once again, loss of about 3, maybe 4 on the play.
That was Robert Peterson from the defensive line, who really was the guy who got to him first and slowed him down to set up that loss of about 3. Peterson, 5'11", 235 senior, and you get size like that, and he's one of the backup defensive linemen. That's how deep they are.
And something that this Valley Catholic defense does so well from what I've seen so far is swarm. They just surround whoever gets the ball immediately, it seems. Very athletic on defense. Trips on the far side. Now they're going to throw a slant on the near side. It's grabbed by Dalton Giesler. He picks up about 8 on the play. It'll be a 3rd down and about 6 here.
That was a nice job by Skaggs, the safety, to solo tackle him there. It's not always an easy play to make in open field, especially against a guy like Giesler, who's one of the stronger athletes on the Dragon roster.
Under 8 minutes to play here in the second quarter with halftime coming up. Make sure you tune in to the Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy Halftime Show. Give you recaps, stats, as well as highlights from all the games that we'll be covering. Fake handoff in the backfield. Hinson is wrapped up, and four hats on top of him to take him down. Hinson just got eaten alive there by a couple Warriors.
Yeah, Loida was there. Peterson was there. You know, they got to him again. And like you mentioned a few seconds ago, just the ability to swarm to the ball carrier.
Fourth down and long, and a couple players coming off. Looks like they're going to once again bring the punt unit out.
Yeah, they're not letting the high score, you know, phase them on the fact that, yeah, you still punt here, you're still halfway through the second quarter. It feels like it should be later based on the scoreboard, but it isn't.
A little confusion on where to align here for some of these St. Genevieve players. Punt is a low end-over-end kick. It hops a few times before getting to Cole Wood, who snatches it up. He gets through a couple players. Now he's going to reverse field and come to the near side. He gets the edge on one player. He's got some room to work with. One player to beat, and that's the punter, Brandon Hinson. He gets past him. He's got some room. One player to beat. Jukes around him. Oh, my. What a touchdown by Cole Wood.
That's not fair. 79 yards.
Cole Wood, man, he dropped that one player like it was hot on the sidelines there. It looks like he had one player to beat, and that was the punter, Hinson. He beat Hinson, but that allowed Blake Moore to come in from behind to beat him, and he kind of threw a little get-off-me child's play, stiff arm to him there, threw him to the sides, out of bounds, and ran in for the touchdown. Another touchdown for St. Genevieve.
Just impressive athleticism by Cole Wood. There's a reason why he was a first-team All-State guy last year.
Yeah, good reason at that. He is a very talented all-around athlete. 41-14 with the extra point coming here. Let's see how Valley Catholic plays this extra point. Looks like they're going to line up to go for two. It's Hinson in the back. It is Skaggs in the backfield. Corey Stoll to his right. Twins left, twins right. Whistle blown as we may have a timeout taken here. And is a timeout called by Valley Catholic. Surprised that they took the timeout there. It's only a two-point play. Do you really want to burn a timeout in that situation?
No, they feel pretty comfortable, I think, with their lead right now, and they want to make sure they get it right because that's actually one of the few things they've had some trouble with in this game with some two-point conversions.
Yeah, if they've had trouble with any one part of this game, I would say it's kickoff
teams, yeah.
When they're kicking to the returners themselves and not just pooching it. And the extra points. But other than that, seems like nothing has gone wrong so far for Valley Catholic.
Some other scores from the area over on AM 800 KREI. North County on top of Farmington 14-12. We've got Sullivan beating Festus 12-3. Fredericktown on top of Herculaneum 14-6. DeSoto running by Bishop DeBerg 26-0. St. Charles ahead of Windsor 21-14. And you've got, they refreshed it on me. That's all we got.
Don't you hate when that happens? Yeah. When the auto refresh kicks in. So Valley Catholic lines up with the same formation once again. It's going to be Bader on the outside towards our near side. Colwood is in the slot next to him. In the backfield, it's Skaggs with Cody Stahl to his right. Snap taken by Skaggs. The throw is off as he is hit on the play. And
it was a low snap,
yeah,
too.
Skaggs a little slow to get up. Reaching at his face a little bit. And he's walking off, I don't want to quite call it gingerly, but he definitely is feeling that hit a little bit. It's an official timeout, so we will take a chance to thank a couple of our sponsors for allowing us to go on the air. Bloomsdale Bank in Bloomsdale, Crystal City, Herculaneum, and St. Genevieve. Comtria Comprehensive Health Centers, the YMCA of Jefferson County in Festus, Lucas Smith Chrysler Center in Festus, and Presbyterian Manor in Farmington.
A lot of yards in this game from Valley, and that's not even including the punt return touchdown. Skaggs passing 225 yards. He's 8-for-10 with two touchdowns. That's just an impressive, impressive line.
Stats brought to you by Bloomsdale Bank, connected to our customers since 1914. Yeah, the stats, you know, Greg was telling us in the studio during our break, Our recap is going to be long. Yeah. So
I think we're going to be the last one back to the studio tonight.
I don't know if you want to maybe tag team the recap before Tuesday's Cold Tractor and Equipment football recap show that we do live Tuesday nights at Buffalo Wild Wings.
I feel safe in saying that 41-14 is not going to be the final score. I think we're going to have more points on both teams.
Still plenty of football left to play as there's 6:36 remaining in the second quarter. Already, both teams combining for about 55 points. They're setting up on the right hash. This time it's on the near side towards us. And doing the kickoffs now is Ryan Green. And it was Cole Wood for some time, but now they're switching to Ryan Green. I wonder if that's because, you know, maybe Ryan Green, he doesn't have quite the power of Cole Wood.
Yeah,
he can't get it all the way to the returners.
Remember, St. Genevieve, if you're just tuning in, they started the game with a kickoff return touchdown by Luke Brewster, and really they gave him one more return. Since then, they haven't given him a chance.
Let's see how the kickoff goes here. And it is a pooch kick. It is going high, and it is going to be off the chest of Giesler. It is grabbed by one of the up men who goes down, but that went off the chest of Giesler and started bouncing towards a couple of players for Valley Catholic charging hard at the ball. Very lucky bounce for St. Genevieve, though, as it didn't get too far away from them. That was actually grabbed by Damian Kiefer.
Yeah, luckily Kiefer was running right with him and was able to catch that off of a very quick bounce.
And good heads up by Kiefer, too. You know, I think he could have easily realized, okay, Giesler's going for it. I'm going to turn around and block. But he kept his eye on the ball. So let's see what St. Genevieve can do here. They were within grasp for quite a bit, but now starting to drip away from them slowly but surely. They're going to need to make a couple plays before the end of the half if they want to come back in this one, especially with Valley getting the ball to start the second half. St. Genevieve, they take the snap. Hinson drops back on a pass. He's going to throw it on the outside, and it is caught on the sideline. Did Greminger keep his feet in bounds? No. Out of bounds is Greminger.
Real close.
That's so tough to do as a wide receiver, especially when you're lined up on the inside. You know, Greminger's only a junior, to kind of feel where that sideline is on that corner route because you're looking up the whole time. But you got to just do everything you can to, once you're about to catch it, keep your feet as far behind you as possible. They break huddle. Twins on the near side. Blake Moore is on the outside. Greminger on the inside. On the opposite side of the field, it's Luke Brewster, who's lined up as the wide receiver. The snap, handoff to Rowe. He gets some room up the middle, but the hole closes very quickly. Gain of about two on the play.
Nice tackle by Rollhouse. And this is a time right now, other than that one touchdown drive they had with some nice passing, the offense has not been doing a whole lot for St. Genevieve. 17 yards rushing, 64 passing, and 39 of that 64 was on that touchdown pass that Hinson found Giesler on.
They break huddle. Hinson in the backfield with Rowe to his left. Twins right, one wide to the right. He rolls out to the right. Pump fake. Hinson steps up in the pocket. He is swarmed and hit hard, high and low, by a pair of Warriors.
Yeah, Jacob Friend was the first one to get him.
And that was second down, so this will bring third and long
here.
Third. Oh, excuse me, that was third. This is now fourth down. Fourth and about 14 and a half, maybe 14 total on the play. And
looks like they're going to go for it. They're too far behind at this point to say that they want to punt anymore.
Yeah, they got to make some plays here. Let's see what they do. The snap. Hinson drops back.
He's gonna punt.
No, he's going to punt. They Tom Brady it. Hinson is also the punter, so it's a pretty good one as it goes down the field, rolls past the 30 to the 29 of Valley Catholic, where it will eventually stop, and that's where the drive will begin for the Warriors. And you know what? When you have your quarterback who's also the punter, why not do that more often?
Right.
You know? I'm not a huge fan of the rugby-style kick, but if it's your quarterback, I kind of like it.
The funny thing was, Cole Wood, the return man, he had to come back in, and then as the ball sailed over his head, he kind of put his arms out like, oh, come on, man, I wanted to get another touchdown. What are you doing to me?
Yeah, I imagine that even if they did just line up to punt normally, that they would be kicking away from Cole Wood and trying to see if they can cough and corner it. They break huddle. Cole Wood comes to the near side. The tight end is on that side as well. That's Coleman Keeley. Skaggs in the backfield, and the running back to his left is Lloyd. Play fake. Now they're going to drop back. An outside throw, and that one is incomplete. May not have been a gain of anything, even if it was completed. The throw going to Tristan Rollhouse, and under pressure on that play is Mason Skaggs.
And Rollhouse had to almost play defensive back a little bit because that was throwing against his momentum, and that's the type of pass that could get picked off and taken back the other way. A bit of a dangerous one, and really one of the first bad decisions we've seen in the game from Skaggs.
Not the worst decision in the world, though. I'm not sure if he intended to do it, but he at least put the ball where only his receiver could get to it. If he did intend to it, that's a very veteran move by a man who's only making his second start. They motion Lloyd out of the backfield and into the slot. They're setting up a middle screen. It is caught by Rollhouse, but the man covering Rollhouse comes in and makes the play.
Hinson.
And that is Hinson making the beautiful play there.
Everybody else came in on the screen and went after the quarterback, but Hinson did a good job sitting back. He realized, hey, I know what's going to happen here. I'm going to be ready for it. Makes a great tackle.
The O-line doing a nice job selling that screen as they allowed the defensive front of St. Genevieve to come through very quickly. And you know what? If right there, if Hinson isn't there to make that play, that is a lot of yards for Rollhouse. The break huddle. Twins to the near side. Twins to the far side. Lloyd in the backfield with Skaggs. He takes the snap. Drops back to pass. Has a nice pocket. Throws it to Wood on the outside. Wood is taken down. Gain of about four on the play. It'll be fourth and six. I imagine Valley may just punt it here.
Yeah, there's no need to be too aggressive, I would think, in this situation.
Especially with 4:16 on the clock and counting. I mean, what is the point of going for it? If you don't get it, you give St. Genevieve beautiful field position to see if they can score again before the half. Just punt it away.
You definitely want to punt away from Brewster if you can, though, because he had that kick return touchdown earlier in the game.
Yeah, and right now with the way they're aligned, they don't have any gunners on the outside. Now they bring Bader in late. And now they bring another gunner in late as well. That's Ryan Green, who's going to the far side. Initially, it looked like a max protect punt. Back to punt is Wood. He gets the snap. He boots this one. It is a high, swirling kick coming to the near side. It takes a St. Genevieve bounce and rolls and is touched at the 35-yard line of St. Genevieve. Flag on the play.
Very good kick, though. Very high and near the sideline. Didn't give him a chance for a return.
Flag is in the area of a block in the back by one of the gunners. We'll see what the officials call.
Yep. Block in the back.
Yeah, it looks like that's what it is, and they're talking to the Valley sideline. So it is going to back up the St. Genevieve offense.
To both teams' credit, there haven't been very many penalties in this game.
You're right. There haven't been too many penalties. It's been a pretty clean game all in all. Yeah, so that penalty will back them up. Let's see where they spot it. Now it'll start at the 25-yard line on the near hash for St. Genevieve.
Halftime score is coming up here shortly. Quick little update. Farmington now ahead of North County 20-14 over on AM 800 KREI.
This could be St. Genevieve's last chance to score before halftime here. They're down 41-14 with 3:36 remaining in the second quarter. Hinson in the shotgun, whistle blown.
Well, there was movement by Jacob Friend on the end spot. It was one of those times, though, did he get back before anybody on St. Gen jumped?
See, that's always the tricky part with the neutral zone infraction.
False start.
Yeah, they call a false start on the offense.
You got to do the old trick where as soon as he's off the line, the lineman has to immediately jump up and point at him and say, hey, he made me move. Call the penalty. They didn't do that.
The best is when you get a player that just loses their balance, but they try to stay still like a statue to avoid falling over, and they kind of just do that slow before they finally hit the ground. I've seen a couple players in my day do that, and it's always a little humorous. So now with Twins to the near and far side, taking the snap is Hinson. That is swat down at the line of scrimmage. I believe that is Jacob Friend knocking it down.
Yep, Friend was rushing there on the left side, and they had the running back Rowe picking him up on the block. But Friend's the type of guy that it's hard to contain him with a running back.
He is no friend of the quarterback, to say the least.
I see what you did there.
I had to work the pun in. So that'll be second down and 15 to go as they are back at the 20-yard line following the false start.
By my count, last six passes for St. Genevieve, 5 incompletions.
This Valley Catholic defense, they're playing very tight, but they're very athletic as well. Tough to break away from. Snap. And they're going to fake the reverse, and now it is going to be taken down. That could be a horse collar tackle.
Yeah,
Hinson is hurt. Slow to get up. That looks like a bit of an ugly tackle from behind. If he's in the backfield, the horse collar tackle is legal because it's just so chaotic back there. Does get a gain of about one on that play.
Now third down and 14. Back at your own 21-yard line. Not a great place to be.
Blake Moore returning to the huddle. He's got the play from the sideline. 3 minutes remaining here as the sky is lighting up off in the distance. Some thunderstorms ways away from us.
I thought I Vincent saw that.
With the snap. It's low. He loses it. It's on the ground. He picks it back up. And now he's going to run with it on the outside. He doesn't have much room to work with. He jukes a defender but gets pushed out of bounds by him. Pickup of about 9 on the play. He's pushed out of bounds at about the 30. Fourth and 5. Decision-making time here. 3:41 remaining. Clock is stopped because Hinson was knocked out of bounds. Do they go for it on fourth?
Yeah, that's... You almost have to. And they're going to, it looks like, unless they try another little quick kick.
Unless they do another... You're right, another quick kick here. Hinson, and he's going to throw this one. It is through the hands of wide receiver. Picked off and going the other way by Valley Catholic. And that is going to go all the way to the house for a touchdown. Picked off by Josh Bader. Another pick six, the second one of the game for Valley Catholic. Another score before the half ends. They're up 47-14, extra points still to come.
There is a flag back near where he made the interception at the 32-yard line, so they could bring it back and take it off the board. You know, that's one of those interceptions that doesn't go against the quarterback. The pass was on the money. It was just off his receiver's fingertips, who was trying to run before he made the catch, and easy pick for Bader.
Luke Brewster right through his hands. Had a decent game last week, though. 5 catches, 72 yards, and a touchdown. He also had 4 carries for 48 yards.
It is a personal foul on Valley, so it looks like they will take the touchdown off the board.
Yeah, so that touchdown won't count, but still a good interception by Valley Catholic, although they could have just knocked it down. But you can't blame, you know, in most situations you would like them to knock it down on fourth, but with Bader, you know, just seeing daylight, or I guess nightlight, you know, beyond that, you got to just take the pick six there. So that'll back up the Valley Catholic Warriors. Or was it before the pass? Yeah, they're still setting up 4th and 5. That is going to be called before the pass.
Ooh.
Unless the sticks just haven't moved yet.
Yeah, that lightning flashing again.
Yeah, and you know what? There we go. Now they're setting up 1st and 10. Okay, so it is called after the interception.
Yeah, it was definitely thrown. It was one of the blockers.
That's what I thought, but when the sticks didn't move, I wasn't sure. So that'll be 1st and 10 for the Warriors. Coldwell Banker, Holsey Real Estate in Farmington, 1st and 10. Drop back pass, throw to the near side. That is caught by the tight end. Breaks a tackle, stiff arms another, and he is hit hard and taken down.
Ooh, and they're going to
call that play.
A flag.
Yeah,
on
they're going to throw a flag
on Boyd.
Yeah, Boyd, he popped him there. That may be a helmet-to-helmet hit.
You know, I honestly think that's just a good hard hit. It was high, but I don't think it was a helmet hit.
I don't think it was intended to be helmet-to-helmet. He may have had helmet-to-helmet contact. It may have.
And they're going
to
say,
yeah, they're going to say helmet-to-helmet.
You know, again, that's just a great job by Valley. They saw St. Genevieve was going to bring the blitz and did the little quick dump to the receiver, Keeley, and Keeley with a nice gain.
Yeah, very nice gain by Keeley, who's been playing tight end in this game.
He's got
so that'll advance the ball
yards.
A bit. And you know what? I kind of like that hit by Boyd, though. You know, he's only a sophomore, but you can tell he's frustrated with all the things that Valley Catholic has been doing to them on offense. I think he's trying to fire his team up. And Bray Cuddle trips on the near side. Now they motion one to the left. Fake. Skaggs takes it up the middle, and he is going to be taken down. Some shoving after the play by St. Genevieve. Nothing to really write home about, though. Just some good old-school football right there. But that is a gain of about 5 for Valley Catholic.
And if you're Valley here under 2 minutes to go now, I think you try to let the clock drain down, try to make this the final possession of the half or close to it, because Valley will start with the ball in the third.
And you know what? Cody Stoll's doing a good job running. Lloyd has done a good job running. Skaggs has done a good job running. Just keep pounding the rock with those three, I say. Snap, taken, handoff, up the middle to Lloyd. He gets taken down at the legs.
Ball came out.
Ball came out. Does St. Genevieve have it? Are they going to say that he's down first?
Nope.
Both players pointing opposite direction. St. Genevieve football. And that may get St. Genevieve back into this game with 1:34 remaining. They're going to have to drive the field quick, but finally some life being shown by the St. Genevieve fans and their sidelines as well.
That was Dalton Giesler who ended up recovering that fumble. Yeah, not an easy task. Minute 34 trying to go 94 yards, considering they don't even have 94 yards in the game. But they have 2 timeouts. This is not an impossible feat.
Far from it. But they have a lot of field to go. So Hinson comes out now with a play. You're going to already have Blake Moore split out on the far side before they even break the huddle. Joining him in the slot on the far side is Luke Brewster. They got one split to the near side. That's Gabe Greminger. Snap taken. Handoff up the middle to Rowe. He gets a few yards. Gain of about one, maybe one and a half on the play. It's going to be second and about eight at the five-yard line.
That's tough. I get the idea of wanting to just run the clock here and not risk it, considering you're that deep in your own territory, but they've still got a lot of catching up to do to try to get back in this game.
And break huddle, Greminger in the slot on the far side. On the outside flanking him is Brewster. On the near side, you got Moore. Snap, low, handoff, Rowe. Rowe getting the edge. Let's see if he can keep it as he now goes outside. He drags that one defender, gets out of bounds. First down on the play.
Good blocking on the outside by Brewster. Some more noticeable lightning off in the distance. You know, sometimes they'll let it go, but
It certainly seems to be a ways away, as we haven't heard any thunder following it yet.
Sometimes they don't need much to
49,
catch their attention.
49.9 seconds remaining in the first half. Make sure you stay tuned for the Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy halftime show. Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy specializes in special orders. If they don't have it in stock, they'll get it for you the very next day. Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy, your total healthcare destination in Deloge, Fredericktown, and Ironton. St. Genevieve breaking the huddle. Let's see what they go with here. Run up the middle. This time it's handed off to Rowe. Rowe's got some room to work with. He lowers his shoulder and gets pushed out of bounds once again. Clock will stop at 43.3 seconds now.
They've still got two timeouts to work with.
So they can still keep running the ball, but, you know, those runs to the outside, they burn more time than a run up the middle because you got to cover so much more ground just to get out.
He did get out of bounds, so the clock is stopped.
They line up. Twins on the far side. H back in. Wide receiver on the near side. Hand off to Rowe once again. Rowe gets wrapped up in the backfield and taken down for a loss. Now let's see if St. Genevieve takes a timeout here. Clock still running at 31 seconds. 30 seconds. Yeah, they're not taking a timeout. Looks like they're just going to kill the clock here.
Yeah, I think I'd try to be more aggressive personally.
You know, this would be the chance to run a play fake and just chuck it to one of the wide receivers going down the sideline. If you really want to bait the other team into thinking that you're just running the clock out.
Nope, it looks like they're just going to let
it check out. They're going to run the entire clock out as we are down to 5 seconds left, 10 on the play clock. So that will do it for the first half. It started off, hang on, with 1.6 remaining. Now St. Genevieve decides to take a timeout.
Nah, I don't get
right
this.
Right as I was about to toss it to halftime.
You see, I don't. There's still enough. Maybe if you want to do one last play for Hail Mary, but they had enough time there with timeouts. They could have gotten into, like, past midfield before they tried this, at least.
Here's the problem with the Hail Mary. We're at the high school level. I'm sorry. Not to knock Hinson, but
even Aaron Rodgers would have trouble throwing it that far.
I mean, they're lined up. The ball right now is spotted at about the 33-yard line. We're talking about 67 yards in air. And the key to the Hail Mary, you don't want to just get it that far down the field. You want to get it up and that far down the field. You want it to drop in like a bomb.
Yeah, they had enough time in the timeouts. I think they could have tried a few more plays to get a bit closer before they tried a gadget play or a Hail Mary or whatever they're going to do here. Or even maybe get into field goal range. We got okay leg.
That's it. They had about 30-some-odd seconds left if they wanted to take the first of their two timeouts. And then they can start passing it. You know, the smash route worked earlier where they hit the man in the slot with the corner route. The only problem is Greminger just didn't keep his feet in bounds, but that was wide open, that play. I'm surprised they didn't go back to it on this drive. So let's see what they call here. They could call a draw or a screen play. Typically, those are the ones that coaches will call because you have the highest probability of gaining not just enough yards, but enough and some blockers to get you all the way into the end zone. Valley Catholic looks like they're only going to rush three. Playing five men back, and they are going to hand it off to Rowe. He takes it on the far side, outside, and he'll be taken down. And, well, that will do it. Very interesting play call at the end of the game, at the end of the half by St. Genevieve. But that takes us to halftime. The score, Valley Catholic 41, your St. Genevieve Dragons 14. We'll take a break, and when we return, we'll have the halftime show here on your J98 The Boot Game of the Week.
MFA in St. Genevieve is much more than just a seed and feed. At your local MFA, you'll find years, even generations of knowledge and experience in agriculture. From the farm to the field, the team at St. Genevieve MFA has the knowledge to help you excel in whatever you're growing, whether it be crops, cattle, hogs, horses, just about anything. Go and see them today. That's MFA in St. Genevieve.
For the touchdown on the one-yard scramble. 7-6 the score. Valley Catholic an extra point away from tying this one.
Warriors offensive line.
No huddle on the far side. Split out is Cole Wood. He's the lone receiver out there. Skaggs gets it. Hands it off to Loida, who goes from right to left. Loida, he's got some room to run. He turns it upfield, and he's in the end zone for a touchdown.
That Chris Loida touchdown followed by a botched extra point. The Warriors were up 13-7 with a whole lot of time left in the first quarter, as you're about to find out. After two quick scores from the Valley offense, the Warrior defense came up.
A break huddle trips on the far side for St. Genevieve. Geisler all the way on the outside. Snap, play fake, thrown, and that is going to be picked off and going the other way. Picked off by Josh Pater. He's got room. He's got one man to beat. He dives and he beats him. He is in the end zone for a touchdown. Right back at you, says Valley Catholic, with their third touchdown of the game, this time coming on the defensive side of the field.
The successful two-point conversion made it 21-7 Valley. The Dragons weren't going to let the game get away from them. St. Gen used a 39-yard touchdown pass to Dalton Geisler to cut into the Valley lead.
Dalton Geisler split out far wide to the far side of the field. In the slot near him is Greminger. Snap. Hinson. Pump fakes. Now he's going to throw down the field. He's got his receiver, and it is caught by the wide receiver for a touchdown. That's Dalton Geisler taking it to the house.
And before the dust even settled, the Warriors quarterback Skaggs hooked up with Cole Keeley for a long TD.
New play here, as it's a different alignment. You got in the near side slot Tristan Rollhouse dropping back to pass in a shotgun. It is thrown over the middle on a slant pattern and breaking a tackle and taking it for Moore as the tight end, Coleman Keeley. He's in the open field. He's at the 20. He's at the 10. Keeley takes it all the way to the house for a touchdown.
That pushed the score to 27-14, and the Warriors' air attack had already been cleared for takeoff.
3:45 remaining in the first quarter. It is a 27-14 lead for Valley Catholic, and they're driving here. Valley Catholic, Skaggs, he takes the snap. He pump fakes, rolls to his right, throws it down the field. He's got a man wide open. It is caught by Cole Wood at the 11, and he takes it all the way to the house. Another touchdown for the Valley Catholic Warriors. They're up 33-14.
All of that? The first quarter, Valley led 35-14 after the first, and after a few exchange drives stalling out on both sides, Valley Catholic special teams got in on the action.
Is a low end-over-end kick. It hops a few times before getting to Cole Wood, who snatches it up. He gets through a couple players. Now he's going to reverse field and come to the near side. He gets the edge on one player. He's got some room to work with. One player to beat, and that's the punter, Brandon Hinson. He gets past him. He's got some room. One player to beat. Jukes around him. Oh, my. What a touchdown by Cole Wood.
That's not fair. 79 yards.
Sean Malone and Jordan Slocum have the call on J98 as the Valley Catholic Warriors lead St. Genevieve 41-14. On AM 800 KREI, the St. Francis County rivalry, it's lived up to the hype. So electric, they don't have a scoreboard, just too much electricity. No North County scoreboard tonight. But the game, it must go on. And on the first of the Highway 67 rivals to get on the board, it was the Farmington Knights behind Gavin Duncan.
So it's the give this time to Duncan, and Duncan, he just waltzes through. So Big Dunk gets in the end zone once again. His second touchdown run of the season, and the Farmington Knights lead North County 6-0.
A blocked extra point made it 6-0 Knights in the first quarter. The score stayed that way until the Raiders made their move midway through the second quarter when Colton Poorman tossed his first touchdown of the night.
Black will be in the near slot, closest the quarterback. And it'll be Jalen Reed, the single setback beside Poorman. Poorman looks quickly to the right side, fakes it. Now goes to the right corner of the end zone. That's an easy touchdown to Brian Chandler, who was not covered. A 14-yard touchdown pass. Poorman's first of the year. And for Chandler, his first touchdown catch. And we're tied at 6.
Momentum shift. Raiders up 7-6. Farmington had a response ready to go on the following kickoff.
Umfleet raises the right hand. He's ready to go. Approaches the ball. Taps it with the right toe. Donovan Howard comes on to grab it at the 12-yard line. Howard comes across the field. Cuts to the 15. He's to the 20. Howard down to the 30. 35, 40. Howard to the 45, 50. Donovan Howard crosses midfield to the 40. To the 35, 30. To the 25. Breaks a tackle to the 20. Breaks a tackle to the 15. Breaks a tackle to the 10. What a return by Donovan Howard. And Farmington's in business all the way down to the 10-yard line of North County.
The Knights used that momentum starter to eventually grab a 12-7 lead, but the momentum swings continued as Colton Poorman's second passing touchdown of the night put the Raiders back out front halfway through the second quarter.
We're the motion man. Fake it to him. Poorman looking downfield. He's got a man wide open, and I mean wide open. Touchdown strike by Poorman. 45 yards, and North County leads now 13-12.
And in true fashion of back and forth, the Knights took the momentum and the lead back in the final minutes of the first half.
Under two to play. Friedmeier down under center. Westbrook motion man to the right side. The pull by Friedmeier. Faked it to Duncan. Friedmeier gets to the middle, to the 10. Turns on the Jets to the 5. And a touchdown by Friedmeier. Farmington executing in the final few minutes of this first half. It's an 18-yard touchdown run by Friedmeier. And the Knights are back on top. 18-14.
And that's where we are at the break between Farmington and North County on AM 800 KREI, 20-14. That one, it's only going to get better. It's only the tip of the iceberg for Friday night on regional radio. Four games come your way. We told you about two of them through halfway. We'll touch on the other two with Bishop DeBerg and DeSoto on 1400 KJEF. East Prairie and Jefferson just about to get back underway on Web TV. The Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy halftime show continues next on regional radio.
The Farmington Police Department wants to wish the Farmington Knights the best of luck this season. It takes a lot of hard work and teamwork to be a successful team, so root for your hometown team and practice safety on the streets before and after the games. Pay attention to what's going on around you, and please do not talk or text while you're driving. This important message comes to you from the Farmington Police Department. Your safety is very important to them.
Welcome back in to the Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy Halftime Show. I imagine it sounds like this at halftime, so let's bring that feel right in to the halftime show. We've told you about two of our games with Valley, a big lead over St. Genevieve, and Farmington and North County battling with the Knights up 20-14 at the break. What about AM 1400 KJEF? A whole lot of highlights, and all coming from one side. With around 8 minutes left in the first quarter, DeSoto's Zach Smith hooked up with Lamont Allen.
Akers is in the backfield. Smith under center, two out right. Another fade throw into the end zone. Lamont Allen leaps up, and he makes the catch. Touchdown, DeSoto Dragons. The fourth down call pays dividends for DeSoto.
What a gutsy call by Coach Johnson and DeSoto right there. Not only to go four deep in their DeBerg territory on fourth and two, but to get it up and allow one of your playmakers to play, make a play. Great throw by Smith and a better catch by Lamont Allen.
A failed two-point conversion put DeSoto up 6-0 over DeBerg. A few minutes later, around 5 minutes left in the first, Zach Smith shot down the field for a 58-yard score.
Smith's in the gun. He's got two out right, two out left. Takes the snap, hands it off, and now he keeps it right up the middle. He's got some room. He's across the 50, gets a block. Now he's across the 40 on the far side. He's at the 30. He's got one man to beat at the 10. Cuts inside, bowls his way all the way down to the half-yard line. Touchdown, they rule it. Zach Smith, a 58-yard touchdown run. That kid can do it all.
And that wasn't the only highlight for the Dragons in the first quarter. They used the final minute to take advantage of a mistake made by Bishop DeBerg.
Ball is loose, picked up by the DeSoto Dragons. He's moving all the way across the right. No one there to stop him. He's going to go all the way. Nothing but green. Touchdown, DeSoto Dragons. Shannon Stranger with the score in the swoop.
What a swing right there, Will. You finally had some momentum for the DeBerg offense. They cough it up, and a scoop and score for the Dragons. Swings momentum right back the other direction.
I'm not sure who's more hype. Is it Will Cheshire on the call or the crowd at DeSoto? Let's find out on this next highlight when the Dragons found Caleb Keim to extend their lead.
So now it's going to be second down and three after the penalty. Smith, you got three receivers out left. Allen, the lone receiver out right. Back to pass. He's going to throw it over the middle. Touchdown, Caleb Keim. He
Dragons. He connects with the young man for a 9-yard touchdown pass, and the Dragons now lead it 25-0.
DeSoto rolling over DeBerg right now, 33-0 after that final highlight. Web TV just about to start the second half there, and the Web TV exclusive was deadlocked defense and a whole lot of zeros on the scoreboard through the first quarter until East Prairie broke through in the second.
Looks like we're going to get a timeout. There's 4 seconds left on that play clock. Three.
And no, they're going to snap it. Tipler hands it off to Jones. Jones reversing field. He'll have the edge. He'll have the end zone. Touchdown, East Prairie. Deverance Jones for 18 yards in the score. And the Eagles go up 6-0.
And after breaking through in the second quarter, the Eagles went back to work, this time through the air.
A low snap. Tipler has a man wide open downfield. Catch is made inside the 10. And touchdown, John Ross Sladen. 49 yards and the score. And the Eagles extend their lead to 12-0 with 1:15 to go here in the first half.
And that's where the score stood after two quarters of play with Eagles over Blue Jays. 12-0. It's East Prairie over Jefferson. Some of the other scores around the listening area. Brentwood running away from Grandview, 46-0. Fredericktown up 14-6 over Herculaneum. Perryville winning on the road, 20-0 over St. Pius. St. Vincent holding a slim lead at the break, 7-6 over Scott City. Sullivan 12-10 over Festus in a close one. St. Charles pulling ahead of Windsor, 27-20. And a lot of action still to come for a busy Friday night. It's the Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy Halftime Show. We'll take a short pause before we send it back out to the field at all of our locations on regional radio.
At Home Pools and Spas, we're your home for outdoor water fun all year long. Plan on saving hundreds, even thousands, while creating your own at-home vacation. We're making room for new inventory, and all in-stock spas must be sold. Say goodbye to wintertime blahs. Say hello to family fun. Home Pools and Spas. Come see us on the Outer Service Road just south of the Ludington exit on Highway 67. Or call us, 431-SPAS. When it comes to family fun, there's no place like home.
Having great insurance is, well, great, but knowing who will repair your auto right and quickly is just as important. That's why you should know about Brad Wooten Auto Body. With over 20 years of hands-on experience, Brad Wooten continues to set the standards of excellence. Brad Wooten Auto Body is a direct repair facility, has loaner cars available, and offers you the same factory-trained ASE and ICAR certified technicians you're accustomed to. Now, the award-winning Brad Wooten Auto Body, across from the Ozarks Regional Library in Ironton, soon to be the number one repair facility in Southeast Missouri.
Well, back here at Valley Catholic High School, it is 41-14. Warriors on top of the St. Genevieve Dragons. We'd like to take a second and thank a couple of our sponsors. Clumps Custom Woodworking in St. Genevieve. Red Roof Grooming and Boarding in Bloomsdale. Creative Contracting in St. Genevieve and St. Genevieve Golf Club in St. Genevieve. Let's take a look at the stats here in the third quarter. Stats brought to you by Bloomsdale Bank. Bloomsdale Bank, connected to our customers since 1914. Jordan, what have you got for us?
Well, in terms of just offensive yards, and obviously both teams have had return touchdowns, kick, punt, and interception in this game. But in terms of just total offensive yards, Valley has 308 with 239 passing, 69 rushing. For St. Genevieve, 115 yards, 64 passing, 51 rushing. St. Genevieve quarterback Brandon Hinson, 4 of 14 with one touchdown, two interceptions, and 64 yards. Mason Skaggs for Valley, 239 yards, 11 of 14, two touchdowns. Rushing leading the way for St. Genevieve and leading all players right now is Camden Rowe with 39 yards on 12 attempts. Leading rusher for Valley is Chris Loida, who has 27 yards on 6 carries. Receiving Cole Keeley, 148 yards and a touchdown on 5 catches for Valley. Leading receiver right now for St. Genevieve is Dalton Giesler. 2 catches, 46 yards, including a 39-yard touchdown.
Valley Catholic returning to the field, stretching and going through some warm-up routines before the start of the second half, as we got about a minute left. St. Genevieve coming on as well. St. Gen, they're wearing the white uniforms. They have green shoulders on those uniforms, but otherwise white tops, white pants, white helmet with a stripe down the middle and logo on either side, the SG logo. They also have green uniform, green numbering. Meanwhile, on the Valley Catholic side, as they're doing some jumping jacks, they got blue uniforms, gray numbers with a bold white trim around the number, gray pants, white helmet with a blue and gray stripe down the middle of the helmet. Officials sitting on opposite sides. They're ready to go. Just waiting on the final 14 seconds for both teams to get some last-second stretching in. If you're St. Genevieve, Jordan, what adjustments do you make at halftime? What adjustments can you make?
Not a whole lot you really can do, I don't think. You know, biggest thing defensively, I feel like you have to get some sort of pressure on Skaggs. They've been trying with a lot of blitzes, but they haven't been able to get to them just because their offense is so good at blocking. I think you have to be able to force turnovers. If St. Genevieve's going to get back into this game, they need to be able to force a few turnovers. They got that fumble toward the end of the second quarter, but they didn't have enough time to do anything with it. They need to get some fumbles or interceptions to get the ball back and get good field position for the offense, because outside of that one scoring drive they had in the first quarter, the offense really hasn't done a whole lot. St. Genevieve has been kind of shut down by Valley.
Keep in mind that opening touchdown was scored on a kickoff return. So only one real successful drive on offense for St. Genevieve, and they had that long touchdown to cap it off, too.
Yeah, it was a 39-yard pass to Giesler. That was really the only drive where they've had anything. So other than that, they had one 18-yard run by Camden Rowe, but no other plays beyond, you know, single-digit yards or less. So, you know, yards have been at a premium, which is why they have to be able to get some turnovers, because if St. Genevieve, can you expect them to put together five or six 80-yard drives to get back in this game? It's not going to happen.
I mean, you look at these last few drives for St. Genevieve and how they ended. Punt, 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 turnover, punt, and then halftime.
Right.
I mean, that's not going to be winning football, especially against Valley Catholic. They're going to put up a ton of points. No matter what you do, they got too many playmakers on offense. They're going to score points. You got to try and match them in some fashion. And it started off great for St. Genevieve, but they really just couldn't get a long extended drive going. That seemed to be the first down, getting for their first problem. First downs and getting them in all together seems to be the issue.
And I think early on they might have been a bit too pass heavy. I think try to establish a running game, it'll make that passing game a bit easier. And I think especially, too, with the big lead, Valley might be more inclined defensively to give you the little short gains here on the ground and cover the deep pass. So if you can get them to do that, get some short gains, get some first downs on the ground, that might open up a shot down the field through the air.
Well, they had a couple open plays down the field that they missed on, most notably the pass down the field to Reinhardt, who we haven't really seen since then, that was overthrown to him from Hinson. But beyond that, the running game hasn't worked. The only time it really worked was that last drive when Valley Catholic basically gave it to them. But other than that, Rowe hasn't been able to get anything going on the ground. You know, I don't know if it's his ankle that's slowing him down, the groin injury that's slowing him down a little bit, but Rowe has really struggled just getting any momentum going.
I think you got to give credit to just the Valley defensive line, because they've just done a great job of controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, really. Valley has been in control. They've just got to give credit to those guys up front. If you can establish that and control the trenches, you're going to be in good shape.
We'd like to thank a few more of our sponsors here. TG Missouri in Perryville, Brad Wooten Auto Body in Ironton, and Nana's Brick Oven Pizzeria in Farmington. Nana's, they brought us some pizza again before the game, and you, once again, you're 2 for 2. You made this New Yorker very happy. I had the Wild West pizza. It was the bacon and chicken pizza, and I threw a little ranch dressing on there, too. That was some good pizza.
I didn't have a chance to grab any. I made the mistake of having eaten beforehand.
But you know what?
There should be some waiting
back
when
we get back.
So I might be able to
do have a microwave in the break room.
That's true.
Or you can just have cold pizza, too. Take it back, you know, throw back to your college
days. That's the amazing thing about pizza is that it's got great shelf life.
Yes.
Such a magnificent food.
And shelf life and easy preps. If you're really desperate, you don't really need to do anything to it. Just take it out and start chowing down. Cole Wood will kick off for Valley Catholic as we get started here. The kick is a high end-over-end kick. Valley Catholic receives it. And now getting the edge, that's Tristan Rollhouse. He's got some room to work with. He breaks one defender, one more to beat, and he gets pushed out of bounds. Pushed out by Giesler. That was Giesler doing the kickoff, excuse me, not Cole Wood. Now it'll be Valley Catholic football as they start in St. Genevieve territory. Ball's going to be spotted just shy of the 40-yard line.
From the very beginning, the blocking just set up perfectly for that trip along the near sideline. great awareness to see that it was open.
Yeah, that's how that play right there seemed to be designed. They had players flow that way and then flow back the opposite way to create a lane to run through. So now Mason Skaggs in the backfield. Claps once, claps twice. He gets the snap. Handoff up the middle to Stoll, who gets tripped up at about the line of scrimmage. Gain of about three on the play.
And that was Levi Gons, who was able to grab him from the linebacker spot. Just kind of swiped his leg and tripped him up. You know, they lost a lot of guys on defense who were starters last year. St. Genevieve Gons, one of the top guys back, sixth on the team in tackles last year.
Rollhouse on the outside, on the far side. Bader in the slot. It's Skaggs in the backfield with Stoll. He hands it off to Stoll. Stoll takes a big hit. He gets taken down.
Giesler.
Yeah, it's Giesler laying the wood there. Gain of about two on the play.
And Giesler's a guy who didn't really get a chance to play much defense last year, too. That's the toughest thing, just replacing those holes.
Yeah, Tristan Huck out for the season with a torn ACL. Great offensive and defensive player, but so far so good as a player jumps offside for St. Genevieve.
Brewster.
Yeah, that's Brewster. That'll be 5 yards there, making the third and six a third and one, one and a half.
Like the idea, trying to blitz from the outside there, but snap count drew him off.
Yeah, and again, the Valley crowd, they get very quiet when their team has the ball, which works out perfectly for Valley as, their quarterback, Skaggs, he doesn't do any counts verbally. He does it with clapping. So they line up once again from the no huddle. Trips on the far side. One lone receiver on the near side is Cole Wood. Snap, dropping back to pass, looking right, now looking left. He's going to throw it down the middle as he's hit. Overthrows the receiver, and that is a big hit thrown in the backfield there.
Gons was the one who came in untouched on the linebacker blitz.
And Gons really lit up Skaggs on that play. And you can tell he kind of flinched a little bit as he was throwing that one. So Gons essentially forcing the far pass. And it looks like they're going to keep their offense out there on the field to go for it on fourth and one.
Yeah, this close. You're too close to punt it away when you're 31 yards from the end zone.
They come out in a shotgun set. Trips to the near side. It's Wood on the outside. Bader in the slot. The tight end on the trip side is Coleman Keeley. Flag thrown.
Wade Hahn, defensive end, got fooled by it, and he jumped off.
And again, another offsides. I mean, this has to be frustrating if you're Ken Weick, the coach for St. Genevieve. I mean, just tell your line, especially at the line, you should never jump offsides because you just got to stare at the football, and that's it. And once that thing moves, then you go. Don't worry about the claps or anything. So now it will be a first and 10, a Coldwell Banker first and 10. Snap, handoff to Stoll. He takes that one up the middle, gets popped. Gain of about three on the play, though, as he took it on the near side on the sweep play.
And Brewster and Gons both there on the hit.
Yeah, that first and 10. Coldwell Banker, Holsey Real Estate in Farmington, first and 10, selling our community 1 yard at a time. Stoll still in there, very small running back, but he's a tough runner. He's not easy to take down despite his small height, listed at 5'5", 135. I think they may be stretching the 5'5 a little bit. And he is a senior as well, so it's not like this is a young sophomore. Snap, play fake, dropping back to pass to Skaggs. He's going to throw it down the field for Wood, overthrown. Just missed another touchdown by about 2 yards.
And Wood got by, I believe that was Brewster who was covering him. Had two or three steps on him, was in the end zone, but the pass a couple yards ahead of him.
So that'll bring down third and nine here. Getting the play from the sideline, it's trips to the left, Rollhouse, Coleman, and you have, now Coleman Keeley is going to the outside, Tristan Rollhouse on the inside, Bader in the slot, rolling out to his left is Skaggs after getting the snap. The throw on the corner route, he's looking for Tristan Rollhouse. Rollhouse has got it in the corner of the end zone for a diving catch for a touchdown. Beautiful play there. What a grab by Tristan Rollhouse as the whole team, even the offensive linemen, they're hustling down the field to congratulate him on that catch. And you know what? That's got to be a nominee for the play of the game, the Unico Bank play of the game. Unico Bank cares about you like family. For a car, home, or commercial loan, see Unico Bank. Unico Bank. Banking with people like you.
Not only did he have to lay out to try to get it over the shoulder and make the catch, but he was also right near the sideline, so he had to make sure he stays in bounds as well. Beautiful catch.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful catch there.
Now they'll go for two.
Yeah, the one-point conversions haven't worked out so well for them, so they're going to go for two right here. The snap, handoff on the end around, and lowering his shoulder and into the end zone is Tristan Rolhaus, and that is the icing on the cake. You get the two-point conversion right there, and yeah, all right, you know what, I'll give it to you. Let's call that the collision of the game, too. Rolhaus with the play of the game, following up with the collision of the game. The Crown Collision Center, collision of the game at Crown Motors, where customers bring their friends. Highway 67 north of Farmington. We'll take a 30-second timeout when we return. St. Genevieve's chance to get the ball here in the second half. We'll see what offensive adjustments they make when we return on G98 The Boot.
Meyer's Shoe Store in St. Genevieve is your Red Wing boot dealer. Meyer's Shoe Store is now offering a 20% discount on all new Red Wing boots. So if you need new work boots, hunting boots, or just new boots in general, Meyer's Shoe Store is the name to remember. That's Meyer's Shoe Store, located at 289 Merchant Street, down from Ciro's in St. Genevieve. Call 883-2110. That phone number again is 883-2110 for Meyer's Shoe Store in St. Genevieve.
Cole Wood back in to do the kickoff for the Valley Catholic Warriors. Back to receive for St. Genevieve. They got Luke Brewster as well as, see, is that Logan Reinhardt on the far side. They're going to kick it off to one of the up men. It is grabbed there by Giesler. He takes it up a couple of yards and gets swarmed by a couple of Valley Catholic players before he's taken down at the, see, that's the 36-yard line of St. Genevieve.
Other scores from around the area on AM 800 KREI. Farmington ahead of North County 2014 in the third. On 1400 AMK, Jeff DeSoto flattening Bishop DeBorg. It's 40-0. And the Web TV exclusive online from MIMOinfo.com. East Prairie ahead of Jefferson in the third, 19-8. 19's an odd football number.
How did they get to 19? That's what I'll have to ask afterwards.
Must have been two blown extra point tries.
I would imagine. It's got to be something odd. So they come out here in a quads formation, two wide outs on the near side, two on the far side. Snap, pump fake, handoff to Rowe. He's going to loop all the way around, a flag thrown in the area of holding. Rowe gets hit hard right about the sideline, pushed out of bounds. Actually, I'm going to say he's down in bounds. The clock will run, but that was a lot of running for Rowe just for 1 yard.
And it's going to end up being a hold anyway, so they go back 10 yards. Some other scores from around the area. Not a good night for Grandview, down 66-0 to Brentwood. Fredericktown trying to pull away from Herculaneum, 27-6 in that one. And Perryville leads St. Pius in the third, 20-0.
Yeah, so that hold will back them up here. And Rowe, I mean, he's had a rough going of it. Every time he touches the ball, it seems like the moment he gets it, he's already got to try and juke someone out or break a tackle because he's getting swarmed. So St. Genevieve huddles up here. So far, the adjustments haven't been that good for them, but again, small sample size, only one play. We'll see if they do anything different here. Greminger, the wideout on the near side. Snap. Handoff up the middle. Rowe has to loop to the outside on the far side. Once again, he gets hit and taken down. Gain of about three on the play.
And he took a pretty good shot there by Wood.
This will make it second down, second and about 21. Oh, we're going to make it about 20. Nice spot there.
How about next man up, though, for Valley? They only have three returning starters on that defense. One of them, Wood, who just made the tackle. You wouldn't know it. Outside of one drive in this game, you know, they've been stellar.
Yeah, next man up is really the great way to describe it. That term made famous by the Arizona Cardinals when they just had to keep finding someone else to play quarterback for them a couple years ago. St. Genevieve breaks the huddle. Moving to the near side is Moore. Broken play in the backfield and taken down is Hinson. Not sure what that was there. A lot of palms up looking back to the St. Genevieve sideline. Hinson almost ran straight into Camden Rowe. It looked like it was supposed to be a rollout to the near side, and Rowe thought it was something else.
Yeah, it was easy pickings for Peterson and for Friend in the backfield.
And that'll be an easy tackle for loss for them, and now it is third and a country mile to go for St. Genevieve.
Scoreboard says 26. Usually when it's this long, I trust their math because I'm not good at math.
Let's see. That's 10 right there with the sticks.
Yeah, it looks good.
That's 26. Another 10. Yeah, 26 seems about right. So let's see what play they dig through their playbook to find here. Not a lot of third and 26 plays in any playbook. The snap dropping back is Hinson. It's going to be a middle screen that they have set up. Getting the edges, Giesler. He's got some room to work with. Cuts back towards the middle. Flag thrown. This could be another holding as Giesler is taken down.
Tell you what, Blake Moore on the outside was trying his hardest to avoid blocking a guy in the back because he was just in that position behind him. I don't think they should be calling block in the back, but he might have grabbed a little jersey.
Yeah, and they are going to call a holding on the offense. I imagine this will be declined, though, because it'll still be third and quite a ways away. Mm-hmm. And that penalty is declined. So we're going to see fourth and about a little more than 20, fourth and about 22 here.
And they'll bring the punt team out. Cole Wood had a punt return touchdown earlier in the game, and now he's standing back at their own 40. Hinson to kick it.
Hinson gets the snap. Kick is up and away. Cole Wood going to let it bounce to him, and now he's going to let it just bounce past him as it is a low bounce, taking a St. Genevieve roll all the way to the Valley Catholic 29-yard line. And that is where the drive will start for Valley Catholic.
And something to keep in mind, it is a 35-point deficit, so the running clock was going. Now they stopped it on the change of possession. It's going to seem a lot quicker after such a slow first quarter, considering how quick both teams scored to start things off.
Change of possession and first break past 6 minutes. The officials take a timeout as well. We'll like to take a second and thank a couple of our sponsors. New Era Bank in Fredericktown, Farmington, Park Hills, and Deloge. Unico Bank in Potosi, Deloge, and Ironton. Kohl's Tractor and Equipment in Ironton. Mineral Area College in Park Hills. And Farmers Mutual Insurance in St. Genevieve. It'll be a first and 10 for the Valley Catholic Warriors following this official timeout. Cole Banker, Holsey Real Estate, sponsoring the first and 10 in Farmington.
Some other scores again. It is 2016 now, Farmington ahead of North County on KREI. 19-8 still the score on Web TV, East Prairie and Jefferson. KJF, oh, poor Wilchester's got a 40-0 game going on right now with DeSoto flattening Bishop DeBorg.
Hopefully he did his homework, because that's at that point in the game, that's when you start digging for storylines.
Yeah. Another one in the third quarter, St. Vincent ahead of Scott City, 14-6. And Sullivan on top of Festus in the third, 12-10.
Speaking of storylines, Valley Catholic has had many great seasons, but they're honoring one season's 50th anniversary. We'll touch on that a little bit later on, a little tease for you as Valley comes out ready to go. They hand the ball up the middle to Stoll. Stoll carries a defensive lineman a couple of yards. That was Austin Caron that he carried. Austin Caron's listed at 265 pounds. That's almost double Cody Stoll.
Yeah, he doesn't run like he's afraid of contact. He doesn't shy away from it at all, and you got to give him a lot of props for that.
You almost got to wonder if he has maybe a little bit of a Napoleon complex. Maybe we should send you to do the post-game interview.
No, he's done good work. Give him a lot of credit.
Oh, yeah. No, he is a tough runner, and I wonder if he almost has a bit of a chip on his shoulder in a good sense with his short stature. Drop back pass, play fake, throw down the field, just overshooting Tristan Rollhouse there. Rollhouse had his defender beat by about a step.
And they had two guys on Rollhouse, and when that ball left the hand, you know, he was a step or two behind the guys, and then he just turned on the jets. If the pass would have been on the mark, he was gone, and he's a little ginger.
Yeah, Rollhouse grabbing at his calf or high ankle. He's limping off here, and he's going to have to go down. The officials are going to take an injury timeout. Tristan Rollhouse, he came up a little gimpy after that run. Not sure if maybe pulled a calf or something. Trying to see if he can extend his stride to get to that football. And that's something we were talking about pregame. You love it when wide receivers, they have that go-get-it speed. When as a quarterback, you can, like Skaggs did, throw it ahead of them and let them catch up and get it. Rollhouse didn't really turn it on that time, though, and maybe this is why.
You're hoping Rollhouse maybe is just cramping up here because he's one of the few returning starters on the defensive side at corner and also, you know, a returner with experience at wide receiver. And even with a team as deep as Valley Catholic is, you don't want to see your experienced guys go down. They already mentioned losing Tristan Huck before the game, and you don't want to see Rollhouse down. They're stretching out his right leg, which leads me to believe it's a cramp.
Looks like based on the stretch they're doing, they're trying to stretch his calf. So hopefully it is just a cramp. They're going to help him off the field. He'll have to sit for at least one play. But I imagine, he's still a little gimpy, so they're probably still going to want to stretch him out a bit more here. So Rollhouse will come out for a bit. Tyler Bloom listed as his backup on the depth chart. He comes into the game. Very tall wide receiver, 6'3", 165 pounds, and only a sophomore. He could get a little bit taller as well.
Receiver's best friend.
Yeah. You mentioned Rollhouse. He's got experience. He enters from last season with 21 catches, 383 yards, and 6 touchdowns on the year. Skaggs in the backfield, Stoll to his right. One receiver on the near side. You got Trips on the far side. The receiver on the near side comes in motion. That's Wood. He gets the handoff on the end around. Lead blocker is Stoll. He throws a nice block. Almost a first down for Wood. Did they give it to him? It's right in front of the sticks. So it's either going to be third down in inches or first and 10.
I say he's short, I believe. They might have to measure it.
That was third down, so it will be fourth down in inches based on where the ball is placed now. And let's see if they call for a measurement. Even though it looks to be clear, you can still ask for the courtesy measurement to see how close it is as a coach, which also buys you time to call a play.
Looks like they probably will go for it. No, they are going to punt. Wood's taking a few steps back.
Yeah, Wood is going to go back, so they will punt here. No sense in going for it. 3:40 remaining in the third quarter. You're up 49-14. Why bother? So the punt unit comes in.
And they were too slow to get everyone out there. I've called timeout.
Yeah, it looks like they may have been missing someone.
Yeah, they
were missing someone. The gunner on the near side never entered the field of play, so you have to take the timeout. Especially with the play clock winding down, which is a shame. You got the running clock going.
Now you wonder at this point when Valley might bring in backups. They might want to get one more touchdown or maybe let the clock run a bit more before you. Because you don't want to, I mean, you want to make sure you finish a team like St. Genevieve off. You don't. I know the score makes it seem like, oh, they're just beating up on some weak teams. St. Genevieve's not a weak team by any stretch.
No.
Valley's just that good. But you also have to look ahead because you want to keep as many guys healthy as possible.
We've already seen Tristan Huck get injured. He's done for the season with a torn ACL. And, you know, I think with about 3:30 left in the third quarter, I think the fourth quarter is about the right time to start putting the twos into the game.
Doesn't get any easier for St. Genevieve. They take on Hillsborough on the road next week. Hillsborough team that went 8-3 last year. Caruthersville 7-5. That's who Valley faces next on the road. So not a pushover game for them, but certainly with a team like Valley, you'd expect them to keep that winning streak going.
We'd like to thank a couple of our sponsors, Farmington Building Supply in Farmington, Cozine Memorial Chapel in Farmington, Coldwell Banker Hulsey Real Estate in Farmington, and KP Automotive in Farmington. So Reinhardt back into the game. First time we've seen him in quite some time. He's going to be returning the punt here for St. Genevieve Valley Catholic. Cole Wood back to punt it away. He gets it. High snap. Punt is end over end. Taking on two hops. It is tipped, so Reinhardt's going to need to grab it. He does grab it as he tips it up to himself. He's going to try and get the edge on the far side. Flag on the play. He slows down, lowers his shoulder, and gets knocked out of bounds with a big hit. Now let's see what that flag is for. This could be coming back a little bit.
I think
right now it's spotted about the 50.
It was on Giesler. You can tell by his reaction looking at the ref. He knocked down Skaggs. I'm not sure if it was from behind or if it was just maybe too high, but it's going to be on Giesler for an illegal block of some sort.
Yeah, so that'll be backed up quite a bit. We'll see where they spot it for St. Genevieve afterwards. It is a holding. It is a spot of the foul type of situation. So they'll back it up from where the holding occurred, which is right now sitting at about the 41.5-yard line of St. Genevieve.
You can see from the body language a bit some just frustration from Giesler. Oh, he's a great leader. He's one of the team captains. This entire St. Gen team has to – looks like there's flags on both teams, actually.
Yeah, they Oh, wow, yeah, all the way in the far side. I see it now. There is a flag for an illegal shift, so they may redo this one here.
Yep.
Those offset, they'll redo it.
You can't let a loss like this get in your head, assuming they don't, you know, pull off a huge comeback. You know, there's still a lot of season left and a lot of tough games ahead for St. Genevieve. And we've mentioned Hillsborough next week. Then Fredericktown, that's a game they should win. But after that, you have to go to Park Hills to face Central. You know, it's going Valley, Hillsborough, and then Central in a four-game stretch. That's not a fun task.
No, that is a very tall task that they have to face. So they'll
have another fourth down and one here. We'll redo that punt. Reinhardt, who is, you know, dealing with a bit of an ankle injury. You can tell he's a little gimpy even as he walks out, but, man, that guy is tough as nails. He's coming back out there, and after all that running, he caught it at about the 25, took it from midfield all the way to the 50 before he got pushed out of bounds. He's going to go try it again. So take two. Cole Wood back to punt. Awaiting the snap. Coleman Keeley, the snapper. Stole the back. Snapped back. Flag on the play once again, as that snap is a high punt. Poison call by St. Genevieve. Everyone gets away. It bounces in favor of St. Genevieve. Touched by Valley, but we may redo this again. Another flag on the play.
Illegal shifts.
Once again, an illegal shift.
That's maybe a legal formation.
That's going to be declined by the Dragons, so they will start their possession at their own 39. So now let's see what St. Genevieve can do with the ball here. Does wind up working out the two penalties before in Valley's favor, as they got about 19 yards. They backed up St. Genevieve.
And really, they have to score and score quickly because that running clock's in effect. If they can get a touchdown, they can put a stop to it. And, you know, 35 points down with 14 minutes left, it's not impossible. Maybe against Valley, but you can. We've seen a lot of points in this game.
But at this point, you're just playing for respect and, you know, to get some practice in before the end of the season. Fake handoff. Throw to the right side. That one is going to be caught by Giesler. Giesler breaks a tackle. He jukes out another defender. Jukes out another one. He takes it up the field and taken down at the 35-yard line of the Valley Catholic Warriors. Gain of about 25 on the play.
We've got an injured player for Valley on the far sideline, 50-yard line. He's hurt right by the St. Jen sideline.
Yeah, the humidity picking up a little bit here, and you got to wonder if there's some cramping going on. Trainer's checking him out. But what a play there by Giesler. I mean, he caught that. He shook off the first defender and did the stop on a dime juke and let the player for Valley just run right past him. Not once, but twice he was able to pull that off.
Yeah, Giesler's a guy, he missed some time last year. You know, he's a playmaker. He's a versatile player. You know, he's the type of guy that they're going to need to lean on, I think, quite a bit, as he's probably going to be the favorite target for Brandon Hinson when they opt to throw the ball.
Hinson, he had some very high praise during the training camp reports, the award-winning training camp reports that we put up online. You can check those out on our YouTube page and on MIMOinfo.com. And this quote, I loved it from Hinson. Quote, the running backs and wide receivers are really stupid fast. And you know what? We've seen that a couple times. You know, Logan Reinhart, when he has come into the game, even with the ankle injuries dealing with as the hobbled player for Valley Catholic. Yeah, it's Bader coming off the field. 2 minutes remaining here in the third quarter. 2:09 to be exact. It's Bader a little gimpy as he's coming off.
And the running clock does stop on an injury timeout, but it will get back going as soon as the officials signal.
But we've seen the speed being shown off by the skill players on the offense for St. Genevieve. Giesler's shown it off a few times. Reinhardt, I was saying before, he's got some good speed, and
Brewster,
he's dealing with that ankle injury.
On the kick return touchdown.
Brewster's got some wheels. Rowe's dealing with a groin injury, so a little hard to say, but a couple times he's been able to loop around someone that's gone to the backfield to get the edge and get a couple yards. So they break huddle. Trips on the near side. One wide receiver split on the far side. Row to the left of Hinson in the backfield. Hinson gets the snap. He's going to roll to his left, our near side. He's going to throw it down the field. It is one-handed. Odell Beckham interception on the play by Valley Catholic. Wow. Oh, my God. What a grab there by Ryan Green. He just jumped up and just snatched that one out of the air one-handed. My goodness. As the PA announcer does the Sports Center.
Yeah, that was impressive.
I love it. Valley loves it. And I'm sure Sports Center would love that too.
In the air, falling back, grabs one hand out to snag it into his body. Beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful play right there. And just a heartbreaker if you're St. Genevieve. I mean, that's a throw that shouldn't have been made by Hinson. You know, I understand why he was trying to force that to Greminger down the field, but you can't throw it into traffic like that. So that'll be Valley Catholic ball now starting at about the 7-yard line. Just a short drive once again for St. Genevieve. The snap, handoff. It's going to be Stoll. He's going to be taken down for a loss of about 5 on the play as they tried the halfback sweep out of the shotgun formation from the right to the left. Now it'll be second down and about 15.
Levi Gons was the one who was able to make that play happen, get the tackle.
So now they're going to be playing with their quarterback lining up in the end zone.
Now give St. Jen's defense credit. The running game for Valley has been pretty unremarkable. It's been the passing game that's torn them up.
Man, they've swarmed quickly. I think the real one issue, I guess you could have, is they haven't really done a good job of bringing down Stoll on contact. Snap, drop back to pass. They're going to throw it deep. Corner trips up a little bit and is overthrown. Trying to see if they can get Cole Wood on that one. Trying to see if they can get him on a streak down the field. Cole Wood, he stretches a little bit. He seems to be all right, though. He'll stay in, but that will end the third quarter. The score here, 49-14. Valley Catholic Warriors on top of the St. Genevieve Dragons. We'll take a break, and when we return, the players will switch sides, and the fourth quarter we'll get started. You're listening to the Game of the Week on J98 The Boot.
Sweet Things Sweet Shop. For all your old-time candy and gifts, they are currently gearing up for fall, football, Halloween, and all things that require massive candy consumption. They carry novelty candies, delicious chocolates, and something for all ages. Come into Sweet Things Sweet Shop for their selection of Jelly Bellies, Melissa and Doug toys and games, and other great home decor and gift items. Stop by for some great deals. Market Street in historic downtown St. Genevieve and on Facebook. Number to call, 883-7990. They're open 7 days a week until 9 p.m. on 4th Fridays.
There was a flag on the play there that got declined. Not sure what it was, but nonetheless, it'll be third down and long all the way backed up in their own end zone as Valley Catholic, as we have to go from one end of the field all the way to the other. Valley Catholic now with their backs to the end zone to our right by the graveyard. Good turnout tonight on this evening. It is law enforcement recognition night. So St. Genevieve High School and Valley Catholic, which is also located in St. Genevieve, you know, they're coming together for a good cause, honoring those who, you know, stand on the thin blue line and protect us. And myself, Jordan, and all of us at J98 and Regional Radio would like to thank all the members of law enforcement, too.
And first responders as well, EMS, firefighters. That's a tough job. I wouldn't want it.
Anyone who works those jobs that, no matter how many times you say thank you to them, it's never enough, it feels. So Valley Catholic will line up. Looks like they still got their ones in here. At least I see Skaggs in the backfield still. But we'll see if they start maybe after this play here, since they're backed up so far. Maybe they'll start working in some of the twos.
And they're going to bring a power formation to protect. They might punt here on third down, honestly.
Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And, well, there we go. Third and long, and they just pooch punt it. Tom Brady-esque. That one rolls past midfield, keeps rolling a little bit. It sits and stops at about the 45-and-a-half-yard line of St. Genevieve. And, well, you know,
I'm not going to say I called it, but.
You did call it. I'll give you that. Props to that. But
we got an injured player for St. Genevieve there. Yeah. Brady Boyer's limping, and he's getting helped off. He's one of their starting safeties.
So a tough loss for St. Genevieve. Could just be cramping, as we've seen from a couple players now throughout this game, especially as it's gone on. But I did mention a couple times before that Judd Nagar, the head coach of the Valley Catholic Warriors, reminds me a little bit of a Bill Belichick. You know, when you interview him, you just get the cliche answers. He doesn't mumble like Belichick. And he's certainly easier to talk to, I imagine, than Coach Belichick. But right there, that's a Belichick-type play. Third down and forever. You're backed up in your own end zone. Give it to your quarterback and just kick it as far as you can.
No reason to risk getting safety. You're not, you know, there's nothing really to accomplish there. That's a good decision. And because they weren't ready for the punt, St. Genevieve, no one was there to return it, so they got another 20 yards on the roll.
And the rolling clock as well. I mean, you might as well just kick it away, give St. Genevieve the ball back. So the drive for St. Gen, it will start at their own 45-yard line. Hand off up the middle. It's a taken by the running back, Wade Hahn, who checks into the game. He takes it all the way for a first down. Gain of about 15, brushing off a couple tackles on the run. as the number twos are in for St. Genevieve. That's Chad Donzi in the backfield as the quarterback now.
And that was actually Ty Brown on the carry.
Also going a little bit deeper on the depth chart then.
Not bad for his first run of the game.
Not bad at all. Good run versus a good team. Trying to see if I can catch a couple of the numbers for Valley. It appears they may have some of their twos in as well. Snap to Donzi. Handoff to Brown. And he gets swallowed up. Not a great second run of the game to follow up the first run of the game. As he gains nothing on that play, it'll be second down and about 12 here.
Some backups in for Valley. Kyle Fallert was the guy who made that tackle.
9:40 on the clock. Clock is running here. It is a 49-14 lead for Valley Catholic over St. Genevieve. St. Genevieve breaks huddle. They got one wide receiver on the far side, Trips on the near side. Drew Toombs is the wideout on the outside. Snap to the quarterback, Donzi. He rolls to the right, steps back. Now he's going to loop up the middle. He gets taken down for a loss of about half a yard. Was able to get most of that yardage back, but still a slight loss there. Third and long coming up here.
I would give you the credit for number 75 on the tackle, but our roster doesn't have a 75 for Valley. So I don't know who that was, but he made a great play on the defensive tackle spot.
Mystery man making the tackle there for Valley Catholic, and that's the problem when you start getting into the twos and even the threes in this situation. Chad Donzi gets the play from the sideline. He comes running into the huddle. Let's see what they pull out in third and long here. Donzi, only a sophomore, listed at 5'10", 143 pounds. He awaits the snap. Trips on the near side, one split on the far side. He drops back, running back to protect with him. That is through the hands of one of the linebackers and almost picked off. That one looks like it might have been Kellen Bloom that tipped that one. Backup linebacker, and there's an injury on the play, and it looks like it's Donzi who's down.
Yep.
I didn't see him get hit, but it could be a cramp like we've seen before, although he's rolling around in some serious pain, it seems.
Yeah, I was looking down the field, so I didn't see what hit he would have taken, but he's laying on his back now at the 50.
This will be fourth and about 13 here. We'll take a second to thank a few of our sponsors. Buckley Towing in Park Hills, Innovative Warehousing and Distributing in Farmington, and Matt Stroud Excavating and Hauling in Farmington. Make sure you stay tuned for our post-game end zone show, Home Pools and Spas post-game end zone show in Ludington. Make your backyards a paradise for your whole family with a pool or spa from Home Pools and Spas. They can make your vacation destination right outside your back door. Everybody's going to Home Pools and Spas in Ludington.
I've got an update on the Presbyterian Manor scoreboard over on AM 800 KREI. It is 28-16 Farmington ahead of North County. On 1400 K, Jeff DeSoto continues to pile on Bishop DeBorg. It's 47-0. Web TV exclusive, 19-8, still the score. East Prairie ahead of Jefferson. Some other ones, Brentwood 66, Grandview 0. Fredericktown 34, Herculaneum 14. Perryville 20, St. Pius 0. St. Vincent 14, 12 for Scott City. Sullivan ahead of Festus 12-10. And St. Charles leading Windsor 27-20.
They're going to help Chad Donzi off the field. It seemed like they were checking out his left knee on the play, at least from my perspective. You know, this is just speculatory, but whenever someone's getting a knee checked out, usually not a good sign.
No, and it's fourth down, so I imagine they'll be punting anyway. But we'll see if they'll bring Hinson back in at quarterback on their next series or if they'll go to a third quarterback in line, because Donzi's the number two, obviously.
Yeah, keep in mind, Valley Catholic, with the offense they have, even with the twos in, they could easily just kill out the clock. 8:17 remaining. Once the whistle blows, the clock will start, and it'll be a running clock as well.
And it's a backup punter, too. It looks like it's Brown who's going to punt it away.
So Brown is in to punt. They don't have anyone back deep for Valley Catholic.
They're not buying it.
Just lined up in a basic defense. Surprise move there, and this one is going to roll. Will it be down at the one?
Yes.
It is down at the one-yard line. Good heads-up play by the gunner there. See, it looks like that may have been Brandon Iceman. You know, he stopped the ball, and then he went into the end zone. He had his foot on the goal line in the end zone. And rather than just touch it right away, he made the smart heads-up play, established himself back out of the end zone, then touched the ball, downing it right at the one-yard line, inches shy of the goal line. That's a smart play right there.
Yeah, that's what you want to see if your head coach, Ken Weick, because those little special teams things – you know, those accoutrements can make a big difference in a lot of closer games. And, you know, they've done some good things in special teams. Obviously, the opening kick return for a touchdown. You know, St. Genevieve, don't let the score fool you. St. Genevieve is not a bad football team by any stretch, and I think they've got, I mean, we'll see how they go with Hillsborough next week because that's not an easy game, but Valley is Valley. Got to keep that in mind here.
Valley breaks the huddle. They got two on the far side, two on the near side. They're got their number twos in right now. Backup quarterback is Chase Dunlap. He gets the snap, hands it off up the middle, and breaking a few tackles, breaking a few more as the tailback. Couldn't tell if that was Cody Stoll or someone else perhaps on the run. Was a little guy, but that could always be a younger player.
That was, I believe, Kellen Bloom.
So Bloom takes it up the middle and gets about a yard. That'll be second down and nine. Following first and 10, our Coldwell Banker, Holsey Real Estate, first and 10 in Farmington, selling our community 1 yard at a time. Trips on the far side, running back to the left of the quarterback. One receiver on the near side. It's Dunlap. He's getting a play from the sideline now as they're changing the play here.
And delay a game.
And there we go. Two long taken.
That's the guy timeout.
You know what? You don't burn the timeout in this situation, though, because this is half the distance to the goal. We're talking about a yard and a half here. You know, it would be silly to just burn the timeout because the clock's about to hit zero. Save your timeout. Granted, it's a blowout, but, you know, if this were a closer game, you'd be better off saving your timeout. Just take the negative 1.5 yards. Try again. So following the penalty, it is back to 10 yards till the first down. Now it's second and 10. The snap goes through the hands of the quarterback. He just falls on it. No, he doesn't. Still running with it in the end zone, and he gets wrapped up, pushed out of bounds. That'll be a safety, 2 points for St. Genevieve, but it's almost doing nothing at this point here.
He managed to actually catch that on a bounce. Looked like he was going to just fall on it. Tried to get out of the end zone.
Yeah, just a rough mistake there as that went right through the hands a little high, but Dunlap should have still had that one.
It is relevant, though, because that will stop the running clock because that 35-point threshold, it's now 33. So
that doesn't mean absolutely nothing for these teams. So we'll have a punt coming up here following the safety. St. Genevieve will get possession. Let's see who they bring in to punt, if they have a backup punter, if they bring Cole Wood in. It looks like Stoll may be coming in.
Nope, he keeps going.
Oh, they actually are going to line up with the kickoff. At the high school level, you do have the option if whether or not you want to set it up on a tee and kick off, or if you wish to just punt it or drop kick it even. And it looks like it's Ryan Green that's going to be kicking from my perspective.
Yep, he's a normal PAT guy.
That one is going to be high end over end kick. It is grabbed. Return up the middle by one of the up men. Dismute breaks a tackle. Almost gets it popped out from behind, and he's taken down at the Valley Catholic 40-yard line. That's where the drive will begin.
Yeah, TJ Dismute getting the return. And it's an opportunity for all of the reserves, you know, for both teams to get that valuable playing time. Obviously, you want to be on the positive side of that, getting the young guys in with a big lead. But even for Coach Wyke and St. Genevieve, you know, this is an opportunity to see what you have with some of your backups. And you never know. Sometimes you might have a guy who surprises you a bit. The question is, of course, who's in at QB with Donzie hurt? I'm trying to see the number here.
The snap, handoff, swallowed up in the backfield for a loss of about 3 on the play. I believe
Drew
that was
Toombs
Bloom.
Is the QB now. So Drew Toombs takes over as the number 3 QB with Hinson done for the day, it appears, from just because he's the starter being benched because of the deficit, and then Donzie because he's hurt.
I mean, it's tempting to put Mason Skaggs back in, especially just to get him some reps, but the last thing you need, it's a long season, it's only week 2, you don't need your number 2 quarterback getting hurt, especially with Dunlap, the number 3, getting hurt as well. You want to just tell Skaggs to take a seat, we'll try again next week. Hand off. No, it's a fake, and juking a few tackles is Toombs. Toombs with a nice run here. He's got the edge, and he trips over his own feet. He goes down. Looks like he tripped over the 30-yard line right there.
And if it wasn't for the turf monster, he could have gone even a bit more, but that was still about a 15-yard run. Nice play by Toombs, who's, you know, he's a junior. He's a guy who's been playing. He's been in a little bit as a tight end. Seen him more on defense. but still valuable reps. And especially, as you mentioned, Brandon Hinson, you know, he's new to the quarterback role. You want to have someone, you know, more secure in that backup spot if possible.
First and 10 for St. Genevieve, the Coldwell Banker Holsey Real Estate in Farmington. First and 10. Sending a player in motion into the backfield. Snap is low. They're going to hand it off on a draw to a confused running back who takes it. That's Bloom. He takes it up the middle, though. Nice run for him as he gets downed after about a gain of 7.5, maybe 8.
That says Derek Morgan Thaler.
Morgan Thaler.
You have your offense and defense flipped around on the wrong side on your chart.
Thank you.
You had the right number. That's Morgan Thaler, though, backup. He's a sophomore getting his first carry. And there's going to be an illegal shift, though, because they had a guy in motion, so that's going to wipe it off.
Yeah, so I wonder if he started to drift upfield a little bit before he got the ball, but illegal shift nonetheless, that'll back him up. First and 15 here with 4:30 remaining on the clock in the fourth quarter. It is a 49-16 lead for Valley Catholic over the St. Genevieve Dragons. Snap. Hand off, fake. Now it's going to be kept by the quarterback, and he's going to be taken down for a loss.
There was all sorts of confusion there. They were trying to figure out who was supposed to get the ball, and I don't think any of the three guys had any sort of consensus on that.
Yeah, I don't know if they had any consensus, and I'm not sure what experience Drew Toombs, who normally lines up as the tight end, has as a quarterback.
It was a moth that dive-bombed you, I think?
It was a cricket that actually I eyed on the wall before, just kind of jumped on my head. I don't know if he jumped at you too, but felt him crawling in my hair for a quick second. I guess he didn't like the call that I gave. I'm not sure. Snap. It is a direct snap to the tailback who takes it, Morgan Thaler. He gains about 4, maybe 5 on the play.
Completely random thought. It was a game I did last year where right in the post game, the largest moth I've ever seen just dive-bombed my face. It just flew right into my forehead. It was not cool.
I'm not sure what they feed their moths here out in Missouri, but I saw a huge one about the size of an older cell phone, I would say, one of the flip phones, right outside my apartment. And I didn't even realize it was that at first. I thought it was like, a curled up leaf or something like that. I went to kick it, and then it flew. 5 on the play clock. St. Genevieve breaking the huddle late. The snap high, taken down by Toombs. Snap throw to the outside. It is a bounce pass to the wide receiver, but that'll be called an incompletion as the bounce pass ain't really legal.
Your cricket's on my notes.
Yeah, there he is.
Rude. Hey.
Jiminy Cricket joining us in the booth here. So that'll be fourth down and about 13. We'll see if they bring the punting unit out for the Dragons. Clock has stopped as we are no longer in running time at 2:56.
Trying to dispose
14
of them.
On the play clock as St. Genevieve finally breaks the huddles. Jiminy Cricket leaving us here in the studio. Thank you for joining us, Jiminy Cricket. Trips on the near side. Wide receiver split out on the far side. One in the backfield. Toombs drops back to pass. He's going to throw down the middle, and that is a bobbling catch down the middle. Nice grab there. Looked like it was made by Stephen Abishon.
It was Iceman, I think. Or no, it was Grant Staffin, excuse me.
Staffin, number 28 with the grab. So now it'll be first and goal at about the 7-yard line for St. Genevieve. The Dragons trying to see if they can get some garbage time points with their twos and threes out there. They break huddle. Twins left, twins right. Toombs in the backfield with Morgan Thaler. The snap, pump fake, draw, up the middle. Morgan Thaler, he's got daylight, and he runs it in for a touchdown here towards the end of the fourth quarter with 2:32 remaining. 49-22 the score. Valley on top. Extra point coming.
Again, just trying to build up some reps, build up some confidence. Ultimately, this game doesn't sink your season. It's week 2. St. Genevieve has to be ready because it's not going to be easy the next few weeks. Hillsborough coming up on the road and just not an easy district for St. Genevieve with the likes of Park Hills Central. Had 11 wins last year. Kinnett had 8 wins last year. And a couple other teams, Salem and Potosi, aren't bad teams themselves.
They're going to go for 2 here. Toombs in the backfield with Morgan Thaler. Toombs gets the snap. Hand off to Morgan Thaler. And Morgan Thaler gets wrapped up and taken for a loss of a couple yards. So the 2-point conversion is no good. The lead, Valley Catholic with 2:32 remaining, is up 49-22 over St. Genevieve. We'll take a break and return with more of your Game of the Week here on J98.
Joe Kirst Incorporated, a name you've trusted since 1972, is the name you can still trust. Whether your needs are residential, commercial, or industrial, Joe Kirst Incorporated in St. Genevieve offers professional service for asphalt, paving, and sealing for driveways and parking lots, along with excavation and hauling. At Joe Kirst Incorporated, they do more than just quote and pave. They deliver what you expect. Call 573-883-7401 for a free estimate. That's Joe Kirst Incorporated in St. Genevieve, 883-7401.
Hi, this is Judd Bagger of the Valley Warriors, and you're listening to High School Football on J98.
.49-22 the score. Valley on top. We'll take a second to thank a few of our sponsors. Sam Sism Ford Lincoln in Farmington, Kettle Hut Smokehouse in Farmington, The Screen Spot in Festus, First State Community Bank in DeSoto, Festus, Hillsboro, Imperial, and Washington, and the UPS store in Festus.
Austin Karen's going to be the guy trying to kick it off here. We'll see if they try an onside kick with him.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the point of that would be here, although you never know in high school football. It is a kick end over end down the field. Hops. It dies on the hop, actually. Now it's finally scooped up by a player for Valley Catholic. He's got room to run, and he finally gets ripped down from behind by the kicker on that play.
Karen.
And Karen, he's not your typical kicker, let's say. Austin Karen, a big boy listed at 5'10", 265.
Yeah, outside of maybe Sebastian Janikowski in the NFL, I can't think of any kickers that are 275, 265.
Yeah, that is a lot of mass behind that football when it makes contact with Karen's foot.
Now Valley will look to just run out the rest of the clock here and move on to 47 wins in a row after they leave tonight.
225, that 47, still good for longest active streak in the nation amongst high school football teams. The snap, handoff, run up the middle, and carrying a few bodies before finally being taken down is Kellen Bloom on the play.
It's amazing how much the scoring slowed down here in the second half, although the running clock will obviously help that. But man, it was, what, 35-14 after the first quarter, I think?
Yeah, I mean, and then the third quarter went very fast because of the running clock, and it slowed down again here in the fourth quarter. That clock, it really makes a huge difference. 1:50 and ticking here in the fourth quarter. Under 2 minutes left to play. Snap, handoff to Bloom up the middle. He carries a defender, and he is just shy of a first down. Depending on the spot, the line judge on the far side isn't giving it to him. The near side has it a bit closer. And they spotted just a yard short, third down and one. They break huddle. Twins on the far side. Twins on the near side for the Warriors. Dunlap in the backfield with Bloom to his left. Dunlap taking his time. 10 on the snap clock. Dunlap claps his hands once, twice, gets the snap. Handoff up the middle to Morgan Thaler. Excuse me, that's Bloom with it. And taken down, is he short? It's very close. This is going to be fourth and about inches based on the spot. They can always ask for a measurement here. Clock is ticking as we are now down to 47 seconds here. Play clock started. About 20 more seconds on the game clock versus the play clock, so at least one more play will be required unless they get the first down here, which they may be going for. Yeah, they are going for it here. New backfield, it's Trey Huck, the younger brother of Tristan Huck, in the backfield. Snap taken. Huck up the middle. He gets taken down right at about the line. We'll see. This spot, it could be just enough. Let's see if the little truck could.
That's a turnover on downs.
And they're going to call that a turnover on downs, so the clock will stop with 17.9 seconds remaining. St. Genevieve offense coming out for the final time. I did mention before about the team that they are honoring. It is the 1966 season where they just had an absolutely monstrous season. 10-0, where they won all 10 games via shutout.
Yeah.
Considered by many to be one of the greatest sports accomplishments in the high school level in the state of Missouri. They outscored their opponents on the season in 10 games, 535-0. That's just the history from one era that Valley Catholic brings to the table. Right now, they're in the middle of another dynasty era.
St. Genevieve with a late substitution coming into the game. Play clock at 4. The snap taken. Draw play up the middle and going absolutely nowhere is the tailback. Couldn't see who that was on the play.
Morgan
there.
Thaler.
Yeah, Morgan Thaler getting the final snap, and that will do it as the Dragons let the play clock just run out. So Valley Catholic moves on to 47 consecutive victories. They have beaten St. Genevieve now 4 years in a row. The seniors on the Valley Catholic team have not lost to St. Genevieve in their 4 years. That's certainly an accomplishment that they're going to look back on and reminisce when they're hanging out with those guys for years and years and years and years to come. But this Valley Catholic team, our first action seeing them, Jordan, and the hype is real.
Oh, yeah. They, you know, the defense, I think, is probably the most impressive part. They did a great job of just shutting down. You know, the offense is impressive, too. They're just impressive from top to bottom. And it's going to be interesting. You look at their schedule. You know, the next time they face a team, you know, they recruit Caruthersville on the road next week. They were 7-5 last year, but they should still win that. I know at Jefferson in a couple weeks, that one could be a decent one, but I know the one everyone's circling is October 1st when they take on another team that was unbeaten last year in Lamar here in St. Jen.
And I believe that October 1st, that's the Saturday afternoon game. Not too many Saturday games out here in the Midwest, so I'm wondering what teams we're going to see here as well. I'm sure St. Genevieve, because we mentioned before the game, they're all friends with each other. I'm sure they're going to come out and probably support Valley Catholic, you know, because they're not really in the way of each other playing in different classes. You know, I'm sure that other teams that have
some
to play Valley Catholic, yeah, down the road, Herculaneum is coming up after that. St. Pius is coming up after that. I'm sure they may take a trip out to St. Genevieve County to check out these Valley Catholic Warriors. And, heck, why wouldn't you if you just like good football? Because this is a very good football team. Well-coached top to bottom with great athletes as well. It's just a nightmare combination for any team to have to face. So that will do it here for us at the field. The final score, Valley Catholic victorious over St. Genevieve, 49-22. We will now send it back to the studio for the End Zone Show, the Home Pools and Spas in Lenington End Zone Show. Make your backyard a paradise for your whole family with a pool or spa from the Home Pools and Spas. They can make your vacation destination right outside your back door. Everybody's going to Home Pools and Spas in Ledington. Once again, the final score, 49-22. Valley Catholic moves to 47 straight victories. Still the number one active streak in the United States of America. For Jordan Slocum and Chelsea Pounds, back in the station doing a fantastic job. I'm Sean Malone signing off. We now send it to the Home Pools and Spas End Zone Show.